Get your fix with the Uncommon Cast RX, your cure for the Common Rider Show. Join us as we discuss the bravest of all the fighters, and those Heisei guys too. With burning justice in our souls, let's tear it up!
I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
And I'm Sona.
And today, we are putting Drive to the test as speedy as we can as we cover, finally, the last two episodes of Drive as a series, and they are episode 47, Who Will You Entrust the Future To, My Friend? And 48, yeah, somebody, right? And episode 48, The Ghost Incident, which is the first Drive title of the show to not be a question.
See, like, again, like, I appreciate their dedication to having the question word right up front. But, like, there's the part of me that's like, no, to whom will you entrust the future?
Yeah. So, my friend, you know, it helps mitigate that issue, though.
Yeah, until you watch the episode, and I'm like...
And then it's like, what friend? Who is friends here?
Yeah. I guess we have to assume that it's the narrator talking to Shinosuke, because the people making the show are the only people who like Shinosuke. Oh, God. You can tell I'm in a mood thinking about it.
Apparently. Okay, well, we'll get you out of that mood.
Speaking of friends.
Yeah, exactly. Question one, Hart believes Shinosuke was his friend. Do you?
Like, if this had been one of those we could have been friends in another life sort of things, I would have been 100% down with it. But... like, even when Hart is dying and everyone's crying because it is so sad and tragic, not the least of which because Hart's only remaining friend is also the guy who killed, like, 85% of the people he knows. But even after everyone's sad and crying, Shinosuke still has to let us know that he's the Ubermensch and that he didn't let himself get punched, not because he had it coming. Because, you know, he deserves to get punched in the face for killing 85% of the people Hart knows, but because he's so freaking smart that he knew the punch wasn't going to hit, because, oh, I knew you were damaged. So even while you're dying, I have to let everyone know I'm the smartest guy in the room, and I'm just like... So what I'm saying is, no, I don't think he... If he's Hart's friend, Hart deserves better friends.
I'm really not sure why Hart believed Shinosuke was his friend, if we're being totally honest here, because up until that absolutely last second, Hart seemed totally set on punching him really hard, and then it's just like, oh well, I'm dying, and I guess if there's no one else, I gotta be friends with you, because I gotta be friends with someone. Like, there was a chemistry there, but it was weird, and like, as emotional as I got in the moment when I was watching it, I'm not sure I really believe it in the long run, because it just doesn't makes sense. I'm also not sure if the Roimutes have any concept of an afterlife. We have confirmed that they're in one because Shinosuke went there and there were like three or four of them. But I don't know if they like conceive of one, but I would have preferred something akin to like him like talking to Brain and Medic and about like, okay guys, I'm coming, wait up. Instead of this like last second bonding with Shinosuke, and maybe some kind of like cute comment like, I hope you two aren't fighting while I'm not there. Y'all will be in trouble. I mean, like, come on. If Go gets to do this with Chase, who he didn't even like for the vast majority of this show, why can't Hart have it with his boyfriend and his girlfriend?
Or even, like, and as you're saying that, I'm sorry to butt in. Like, all I'm thinking is the bit from Mass Effect. There's a spoiler, but... Or really from robot fiction generally, just like, hey, I'm a robot. Hey, human. Do I have a soul? Is there an afterlife waiting for me? I just killed my god. What happens to me now? I don't know. They could have just gone anywhere with it.
Yeah, they could have gone anywhere other than this.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, though, that during that fight, when Kiriko chucks belt to Shinosuke, she does it with her injured arm from several yards away. I'm completely convinced all evidence in this show points to Kiriko being the strongest living being on the planet. Right to the very end.
I'm in.
Yeah, I like that. And wow. Jumping ahead, I'm sure that's the only reason why AG and whatever other children they have together are super beings. It's because of her.
Probably. I'm getting it from him.
Yeah, no, certainly not.
So yeah, in no way was Shinosuke a friend to Heart. Rival? Yes. Equal? Maybe? They both lash out against the people group of their trauma inflictor. In a way, they parallel each other. Did I mention something on the recording about us toasting?
Oh yeah.
Chin. Gluck, gluck.
You may have to forgive any slips of the tongue. So starting again, in a way they parallel each other tightly, but I give Heart more slack than Shinosuke for his shortcomings. Dude's only 15 years old, right?
Yeah.
Shinosuke is a really ugly reflection of Heart, what with his focus on eradication rather than finding some other solution to the role mute issue. Shinosuke almost always just follows orders while Heart was running his own game pretty much the whole time, and like he rebelled against his authoritarian ruler, Bano. Heart embodies some of the strengths that Shinosuke lacks, and I don't know if that's supposed to be like a literary, like they're foils of each other, and it's too bad Shinosuke isn't better, but Shinosuke is presented in the show as being great, so
I know I'm getting... The thing is, I think they are foils, just not in the direction, like in the opposite direction of where you're going with this, which is, I think that's what they intended, is the opposite direction that you're taking on this, and that's kind of a shame.
Yeah. Well, especially since, like, you know, you bring that up, and then I'm just reminded of something, again, if I'm misquoting here, but I could swear I heard Cannibals talking about how Heart and his entire deal sounds like a much more traditional writer protagonist. And again, if you do the show from Heart's perspective, I think I could get behind it.
Yeah, and Heart's show is the one where Shocker wins.
Yeah, well, Shocker, he wakes up, Shocker's already won, he has to go fight Shocker, and then he, you know, dies. But it's a Pyrrhic victory. He died for a purpose, trying to free him and his people from the guys who committed genocide on them.
Yeah. Wow. Trippy. Okay, well, question two.
To get back to, like, to throw some shade at Gaim for a sec, like I love to do, that would have been a good way for Gaim to go.
Like, hey, that's how I thought Gaim was gonna go.
Yeah.
Was them all being like, yo, this company, like, screwed up our entire town. We should do something about that. But that wasn't what the show turned out to be.
No.
Yeah, unfortunately, a far cry from it. Okay, so question two. Which Romulus was Heart saying surpassed humanity, like, as he was dying? Did Heart, like, was he talking about himself, or who was it?
I remember a conversation like this, but I remember Shinosuke being the one to say, like, Heart had surpassed humanity, or had, like, reached the full grasp of human emotions and, like, was surpassing humanity. And I remember being really annoyed that this basically erased Chase's entire development, but this wasn't during their last fight, and I couldn't find the conversation again when going through 47, so I'm very confused as to when this actually happened.
I am too, because for the most part, I just kept wondering what they even meant by it. Like it sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything. Is it that they'd surpassed their programming? Because, like, all of them did at the end. Is it that they're more powerful than the humans? Well, all of them had that from the off. They kept talking about it like it meant something, but absent a terms definition or a story focus on the idea, it's like the dead zone. It's like, oh, here's a neat-sounding thing. Oh, okay, well, what are you doing with it? Nothing! You can't see the face I'm making. I'm just gesticulating wildly.
I almost called you Kiriko, so no.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's a compliment. So
I'll accept that because she's great.
Yeah. But yeah, the dead zone conversation, or not the cheese Louise. The conversation that they have where he talks about the surpassing mankind or whatever is like after Shinosuke wakes up from his near-death experience. It's actually at 5 minutes and 50 seconds or something, like 5 minutes, 30 seconds, you'll see them start to talk. It's in the rain.
Okay, so like I rewatched their entire fight. Is it before they start fighting?
It is before they start fighting.
Okay, because I started like right when he got up and they started fighting.
Okay, yeah.
And he was like, oh, but like I want us all to coexist now. And I'm like, when did this conversation happen? Because I remember it happening here, but it's not happening here. And I know I make stuff up sometimes.
Yeah, Hart was remarking on how weird it was that Bonner tried to make humans more like Romudes by digitizing them or whatever. And then he says something like, we were supposed to be like you and accomplish that. And then Shinosuke says, well, one of them accomplished that. Sorry, I'm just watching it, so I may as well quote it, you know? And then he walks over to him and he says, and that was you. And he puts up his hand to Hart, and then Hart knocks his hand away. And then I think that's when they start fighting.
And I remember this, and I was really angry because this completely just knocks out every, like, Chase's existence.
Yeah, it really
like,
does.
Like, what did anything Chase do mean? Like, what did any of that mean if Hart is the only one you think surpassed humanity?
Right.
Well, it means
became human.
It means he hates Chase because Chase was a robot, and robots are filthy in that.
But Hart is also a robot.
Tried to put its hands, its freaking servos on Kiriko, and Kiriko belongs to him because he is a man. Sorry.
Okay,
again.
We're gonna go down that road later.
Yeah, I don't have a high
because that's
Shinosuke.
That's not the road we're on right now, and that's.
Aleph, how much of the box have you gone through?
much as I should, but like a couple hours ago, I did. Some nice heavy exercise, so my blood's still going a little faster.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Well, let me answer, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, sorry.
We want to get to that in a proper way. So, okay. So
I am angry about that.
No, I know. I know. I'm getting ahead of us, and that's not cool.
That is not what we're dealing with at the moment.
Right. So I think Hart was talking about Medic, who showed compassion and care for Shinosuke, her former enemy, in giving up her life so that he could live. It could have been Chase, though, too. I don't really know. But Hart mentions right there, after he pushes Shinosuke's hand away, he stands up and says, Medic is dead. I'm the only one left. And then, like, let's fight. So maybe he meant Medic. I really don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I could see him meaning Medic just like with the relationship he has with her. Or I don't know, maybe he meant Brain. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
It's one of those things like all of them would work because they're, you know, by the end, all those head Roimutes were basically characters, you know, and they had growth like characters do.
Yeah, in the fullest sense. Okay, question 3. How do you feel about the total elimination of the Romude?
I feel like it's real easy to be sorry to people you're never going to see again because you killed them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very sorely disappointed that Hart, Brain, and Medic didn't survive and, like, go on leading this kind of happy life as, like, angry, sarcastic informants for Shinosuke and Kiriko. Like, they go to them and be like, oh yeah, no, we know all this stuff that's going on. First admit that you killed all of our friends, and then maybe we'll tell you. Mm. It's like, do I have to say it again? You make me do this every time. Like, yeah, no, you gotta do this. Every single time. Or we're not gonna tell you anything.
Are you gonna go to The Hague? Well, no, I'm not gonna go to The Hague. Then yes, you have to say it every time.
Like, or even if they were just, like, together and alive, and we just saw them walking down the street, and we got, like, a little text thing about them that they went on to go do something, Lord only knows what. But this is what happens when we redeem villains, and this is why my life is suffering.
God, if it's not the laziest thing to.
It's trash. Kiva does this correctly and lazily by just setting up that they're going to look for a solution, besides the fact that they showed a handful of Fengar living peacefully alongside humans. Like, and, you know, so there's your answer. It can be done. It's just, it's hard, I guess.
When have we had a redeemed villain that survived? Someone help me with this. Oh, no, wait. Wait, here we go. Everyone take your drink. Bo Kendra.
That's true.
Yeah.
She's go lived. Shizuka gets to keep hanging out, doing her stuff. And then got arrested for not being evil anymore.
I mean, spoiler alert, Magiranger. Sentai is a lot nicer about it, I find.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. That's right. They do keep two of them.
But, yeah, not so much in Rider. Rider gets a lot bleaker.
Which is a shame, almost doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't, because, I mean, especially going back Showa, most of the Riders are redeemed villains. Hongo is a redeemed villain. He used to be a Shocker Kaijin, then he said, F that, and started breaking stuff.
Well, I mean, those are the only two examples I can even think. Oh, wait, no, Abaranger. We do Mahiro. Jien lives. But those are really the only examples in Sentai I can think of.
I've watched those. All right. But, yeah.
All right.
Villains don't get to live in Toku.
Unfortunately. Especially the writery side. Okay, so coming along, question 4. Were the text epilogues good for you? Were they necessary?
Okay. These little text epilogues gave us the completely 100% canon fact that Sawagami Rina goes on to win a Nobel Prize in physics, and there is no one on Earth that can take that away from me.
And
if nothing else, there is that.
Look, and I'm not going to dream of taking it away from you. I do want to say, though, that they felt really weird to me. Like, there's some holdover from some previous draft of the series that was actually the ensemble piece that they thought it was, or as if it were so jam-packed with interesting story information that they couldn't get this stuff in any other way, which is to say, I don't like them. Again, I'm happy that Rina got the Nobel Prize. Because she can make a writer belt in the night, she deserves it.
Yeah.
This is true.
She deserves, like, 8 of these.
Okay, so, I'm ambivalent towards them and could have done without them, but, you know, kudos to Rina. Mm-hmm. Okay, question 5. This is a repeat question. By the way, some of these questions, like question 5 and 4 and I think 3 and 1...
All of them.
...are all from Aleph, so that's nice. And I appreciate you helping out with that.
I had complaints. I had things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, the best way is to, you know, be a part of the... Wow. I finished my cup. The best way to do that is to be the one who... or at least to contribute to... There we go, the questions.
Be the hand that rocks the cradle.
Exactly, and then bites the hand that feeds. Never mind. Okay, good question.
No, that's me.
Okay, was Kiriko involved enough in these episodes?
If there's any reason I'm glad this show is over, it's that we can finally stop kidnapping Kiriko, because, oh my god. If she gets kidnapped and Drive Ghost, all bets are off. I'm going to Japan. I'm going to fight every single member of Toei. I'm going to fight everyone if they kidnap her in that movie. But overall, no, there is never enough Kiriko.
Yeah, I brought in this question mostly because I am still, days later, just livid about 48. Before we even get to kidnapping Kiriko, we had that bit with Shinosuke and Oda, and he's given Shinosuke that really good pep talk. It's a really good pep talk about how his friends are always there for him, and while... And, you know, that's great, but they're on their way to a crime scene with a dangerous criminal. I spent the whole time going, hey, Sho, did you forget? Oda's not Shinosuke's partner. Kiriko is Shinosuke's partner. Do you remember all the times you said that? The times it was a plot device? The times where it was very important that we understand that she is his one true partner? It's Kiriko, not Oda. And everything he said could have been said to her. Could have been said by her to him, and it would have been a lot more affecting. Also, like, look, she's going to get kidnapped, like, and again, I get that they're trying to close the circle. They're terrible at it. But could it at least not be an off-screen thing, and we got to see the dude work for it, because she's the strongest, And, like, he tries to kidnap her, and she, like, punches him in the mouth a few times, and then he pulls the gun, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm not bulletproof, though. Like, something.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a van right there, Kiriko. Please, just hit him with it. And, I mean, I really enjoy the sentiment of what Ota said to Shinosuke, and that it was, hey, look, I'm not gonna lie, everything is different now. It is totally legit to be scared because you don't have this crazy power armor that you've had for the past year, and that's how you're used to handling things. Because I'm really into people, like, the message being presented that it's okay to be scared or upset. And so far, again, take a shot, Kuga's the one that's done it best. But I do agree, why was it not Kiriko? Because, I mean, if anyone knows that, it's her. She's the one whose whole beginning thing was getting over being scared.
That's true. And it was way in the beginning. It was foundational to her character. And
it was the second and third episode.
I'd not even made that connection. Good call, Sono.
Okay, so, yeah, no, she is, unfortunately, no more than an accessory to Shinosuke, and, the end of the show really, made me feel, like she just exists to give him kids, and I'm a traditionalist regarding marriage and families, like, you know, I work, my wife doesn't, she doesn't want to, I think that's great, you know. You don't have to stone me, you know. Anyway,
you know, look, if it's working for you guys,
yeah, it does.
I mean, like if she doesn't want to, and she doesn't have to, then she shouldn't.
Yeah,
that's her choice.
Right, exactly.
Like you're not making her.
No way, couldn't. She'd kick my ass.
Yeah, see, that's her choice, and that's fine.
But like you know, so saying all that, it just felt so wrong. To me, to read on the screen that she had been reduced to being Shinosuke's wife and the mother of his kids. Is the show saying Bano was the last era's great man, and now Shinosuke is because he beat him even though he didn't? So Kiriko passes from the stewardship and service of one great man to the next? Is that what's going on?
You know, I didn't even get to that level. That is mad ugly. Good call.
Yeah, but... I mean... It bothered me a lot on a lot of levels. I mean, they do... It is in there that Kiriko keeps being a cop. She goes on to First Division with Shinosuke.
Right.
And I'm, like, I'm not totally okay with just she exists to make babies for him, because I am, even from... taking the feminist stance on it, I'm really uncomfortable with, like, reducing the woman to an object.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's just a weird thing on, like, every level for me. But I'm just, like, why does that have to be part of
just say
her epilogue?
Happily ever after.
Yeah, it's just like, and she went on...
Forever.
They went on to be partners together, yeah. And we've already confirmed that they have a son in this movie. Like, you don't need to tell us that again. We already know. So it's like, I assume Rina and Ota ended up getting together, but that's not a part of either of their epilogues. So why is it part of Kiriko's?
All I can say is, like, I get the weird impression that someone behind the camera, like a writer, director, producer, I don't know, is just like really like, oh, I wish I had a pretty girl to be my arm candy.
I'm wondering if like marriage rates are low or something.
Well, there has been a lot of trouble on that front actually at the moment.
Okay, because like I know with Magiranger happened when like birth rates were low. So they're like, so they have a lot of kids!
So you can have a child Sentai?
Yeah. So, like, I'm wondering if, like, that has something to do with it, where, like, they have to get married because we have to show the kids that marriage is cool.
They're just... with this show has a what lot of like, stuff that really feels bad. Like it's tapping the zeitgeist in a really weird way. Like, yeah. These guys aren't interested in leading the zeitgeist. These guys feel very interested in reflecting it in all of its progressive glory.
It's just a weird, weird thing that I'm not totally comfortable with, especially with this weird emphasis on, like, sibling relations. Because you've got, like, Kiriko being like, you've got Kiriko and Go, who are blood siblings, and then you've got this whole thing with Chase, where, like, they're trying to make him their sibling also, and you've got, like, Go calling Shinosuke a brother, and, like, and Kiriko, like, reflecting that in, like, yeah, he's part of our family, he's our brother too, and that's really weird. Like, that's a really weird, uncomfortable thing, and I'm gonna give credit to Zeppelin Chan on Twitter for kind of pointing that out. Because she's really against it on that, like, entirely on that principle.
Yeah,
on top of the fact that it's just poorly written, but, like, I'm like, thank you for putting into words this kind of weird feeling that I've had. Because I'm really, because again, and with my love of Double, I'm really into the whole defining family for yourself. Family isn't defined by blood. And I'm like, pick one. You can't do both without it being creepy.
This is true. Okay, so speaking of picking things and endings, question six. Did the feelings... No, wow. Did the endings feel earned?
Brianna's did. That lady deserves... Like I said, she deserves, like, 8 Nobel Prizes. She was just building stuff overnight for funsies half the time. And, I mean, Krim also maybe deserves to be locked in a hole forever, so... So yeah, we'll go with that. But I mean, like, I don't know. It's, I think the ending is passable for everything we got. It's not the ending I would have written, and it's not the ending I wanted, but I think it's passable.
All right, well, I will agree, Krim definitely deserves to be locked in the bowels of hell. I'm down with that. But other than that, like, I just keep going back to Shinosuke just is no friend of the Roimudes. And for all, again, I understand why they want to have the thing with Shinosuke saving his partner again, because Shinosuke tells us he's grown and changed over the course of the series, and it sure is a good thing he told us. I mean, it's not like they want to show us that or nothing. But it's, like, they lost that thread, and then they just brought it back at the end, sort of at random. It really sucks.
You know what's weird? They didn't have to kidnap Kiriko to do that.
No.
I mean, Hayase didn't get kidnapped. I mean, just have them fighting him and the dude pulls a gun and he's standing near Kiriko. You don't have to, like, have him tie her up and drag her somewhere else. That's unnecessary.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's ugly.
That's a word that might come up a lot more in this episode.
I promise you.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll throw the endorsement of the endings for Rina and Krim. I'm actually really spiteful that Go goes on to be a famous photographer because it feels like it is stepping on Ichimon Chihayato's toes. The writer of Strength can handle it, but it just really irks me. More on Go's ending, this show wasn't about family of choice. I reject that, so, like...
No, it's not.
You know, him and Harley... Oh, yeah,
yeah, no.
Family,
like,
is what you choose.
I reject that because that wasn't Go's story. That was Chase's story.
Yeah, but, you know, Go has Chase's driver's license.
Go isn't Chase.
Even though he has his identification?
Go is not Chase.
No, he's not.
I will reject it on that principle. Also, I'm bothered by Go being a famous photographer, because just when was that still relevant to his story? When was that ever really relevant to his story?
As soon as he got done murdering all his, you know, surrogate siblings, he had to get back to his photography career.
Even, like, when was that
I think it's,
part
I think
of
it's
anything?
That thing one of our dear listeners mentioned last time. It's like they mention a thing once, and then they expect you to be really engaged with it for the rest of the series.
Yeah, that's not a thing I'm about, and this isn't the first show to do it.
No.
This is hardly the first show to do it, but it's always something that bothers me.
Yeah, well, look, if you're going to say, like, oh, his life's dream is to be a photographer and talk about art and lighting and beautiful things, you have to show him doing it. There's a lot of tell-don't-show in this ending, is what I'm saying.
There's a lot of tell-don't-show in this series.
Yeah.
This is true. Okay, but let's keep going, because all you need is drive. Question 7.
Really? Is it?
No, it isn't. all you need, well, I'm going to bring that up later, but yeah, ignoring, like, what's going on around you and just moving forward is not a way to move through life. Anyway, well, it's not the responsible way to move through life. So, question 7, was the show off on its premise? What was the show about? What was the point? Did it have something to do with defining true evil as being part of humanity?
I think this question points to just one of the big flaws in the show. Like, it's just a premise. It's barely an elevator pitch. They got to Kamen Rider, who is also a police officer, and they just seem to have stopped there. Any themes they did get to feel accidental or, again, a reflection of the zeitgeist, as opposed to a commentary on it or a statement of action about it. And if I'm going to buy this thing they talked about, where man is the real monster, which, look, there's no such thing as, like, actual monsters and demons and junk, so I'm a big fan of man is the real monster in my monster media. Like, I like it. But I have to call BS on them murdering the victims of humanity's evil in the plot and, you know, just getting on with life after because it's not a big thing that you commit genocide. Like, they weren't attacking human evil. They were attacking the victims of human evil, which, again, it's going to be a leitmotif. Ugly. Ugly.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, if man is the real evil was actually a thing this show is going for, which it could have been, given that Bono was human and also a giant sack of garbage, and, like, there were a lot of evil humans and, like, humans making bad moral choices, not totally understanding just how bad that moral choice was.
Most of the beach, like, that's Shinosuke.
Okay, I was Shinosuke, referring...
He's a bad cop.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, like, I'm referring to, like, Rina's ex-boyfriend, and, like, all of that. Like, there were some messed up humans. There was Nira. Like, that's a thing they should have played up more and put more focus on instead of, we sure blew up that evil robot today, didn't we? Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
And, like, he says this revelation in 48, like, he's only just realized this after the battle against the Roy Mute is ending and over. Like, he only seemed to realize it, like, when in that last fight with Hart. Mm-hmm. And as a cop, who has been a cop for a while, who was the son of a cop murdered by another cop for a really petty reason, isn't this a thing he should already have been aware of and been working around?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say, switching from that, the drive is about the great man and his struggle. I guess it's kind of just like Gaim. He, being Shinosuke, exerts his power on the world, destroys those who would declare that they are his betters, and receives a procreational partner as a prize for being the strongest and greatest of all men. At the end of the show, the world is his oyster, and he doesn't need to give a second thought to anything he did throughout the course of the show. He only has to move forward.
Yeah. Again, does someone else want to say it?
It's ugly.
Yeah, that's
hideously ugly. Okay, so question 8. Did episode 48 get you excited for Ghost?
The episode as a whole? Not really. The first episode preview? Heck yes. Also, I was not told there was a puppet Why am I never warned about puppets?
I didn't know you needed to be warned about puppets. I'll keep that in mind in the future. But for my own part, though, I do gotta say, I was super excited, because if nothing else, that's a suit someone can move around in, and I'd like to see some more fights that involve feats of agility and whatnot, because between Drive and Guy, I've really been feeling the lack lately.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly just don't like being caught off guard by puppets. Like, Smokey and Magiranger scared the heck out of me when I got to him. I was told Magic Cat, and that's all I was told. I was just told Magic Cat, and was expecting Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, not, like, the genie from Aladdin's fursona. And he is literally the genie from Aladdin. Majishine literally just watched too much Aladdin as a child and based all of his objects around that, and also likes trains. But, like, I just hadn't seen anything anywhere in promo stuff for Ghost with this puppet. And, like, Ticket from Tokyuger, I think, is the only puppet that I've ever been warned about and therefore been prepared for. And, like, I'm fine with Ticket. I think Ticket's kind of annoying, but Ticket never, like, caught me off guard and scared me the way this puppet did, because I did not know there was a puppet. Once it was there for a while, I thought it was really cute and fun. And I'm, like, really, I'm now interested to see what this puppet's deal is, but it, like, scared the heck out of me because I did not know there was a puppet.
What this puppet's deal is. Well, I gotta say, I'm inordinately excited about the Uncanny Urusan. Please do not ask me to explain it, but I am. Also,
amazing.
Huh?
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
It's, like, so simple and elegant. Like, if you're gonna go with an annoying sidekick thing, like, instead of the little robot friends, like, do this. And then kids can buy a Urusan figure or plushie or whatever.
If kids.
I want one. I will buy a Urusan. Like, I will buy a little Urusan plush if they make one that's affordable.
Well, and I bet the way it looks like it has an icon that goes inside of it so it can store them or whatever. Like, how great is that? It's so practical and simple, and that adds a little element of playability to it, and I think that's cool.
I'm assuming it's like Urusan brings him the icons instead of having some kind of, like, holster.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem to have one, so it probably just flies around like, hey, here, take
adorable
this.
Adorable puppet, Ankh.
Yeah, which is cool. I like that idea. I liked it with Ankh, except he was a jerk. Sorry to all the Ankh lovers.
He was a jerk, but, like, he was a jerk in this really, like, good way.
I know
you're not a fan. You're wrong, but
I'm not a fan of AG.
You're wrong,
well,
too.
We can discuss that later, too.
I'm fine with most other aspects of O's. It's just I don't like AG, and I don't like what AG believes in.
All right, well, Ghost, his name is Takaru, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so, like, he reminded me of Haruto in the best way. Scratch that. That is always an unqualified compliment. So, yes, seeing him act like Haruto, which was, you know, acting with compassion and understanding towards someone in trouble, but also kind of respecting the person's privacy, despite the fact that he was eavesdropping on the phone call and then was, like, spying on Shinosuke later, like, really made me happy. And I hope to see more of that from him and Ghost. And I'm hoping, because this is made at the end of Ghost as opposed to, like, during a movie, that this characterization that we've seen of him will be accurate to what's in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think this qualifies as, like, an episode zero for Ghost as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also hoping, like, this is the dude we're gonna get.
Yeah,
this, like,
that's all I want.
What happened?
I don't. Are we done with these questions?
Yeah, we're
done. Not all together. We have plenty more
just,
stuff.
It just sort of dropped off for a second. It's like, oh, our conversation just fell off a bridge. Okay. And I was just like, did I get kicked?
We are all maybe a little bit tipsy.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, maybe.
All right. Does someone else want to read Jason's questions and introduce him?
Listener Jason sent us some questions that are actually a lot of fun. The preface goes as follows. You said we can ask questions to you guys, right?
I'll break in and say yes. Some other shows do this. A great great spoilery Star Wars podcast I listen to does this, but they only take like a few from like one from each listener per episode. But I figured if people want to ask us questions that we can discuss, that'll be cool too. So we're going to start doing that in the rest of Ghost, as long as it goes well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely send us questions. I had fun answering these. I have fun answering everything.
What's fun, you know, we get some discussions, and we get some discussions from new angles, which is always really nice.
Right.
Which, speaking of, let's get to question one from Jason. How do you feel about Drive overall? Would you recommend it to someone trying to get into the franchise? And what do you think its strengths and weaknesses are?
Overall, C+. Maybe closer to a flat C. I highly doubt it would be my first recommendation to someone trying to enter the franchise. I'm going to probably keep sticking to my current model of pick an era based on your tastes and start at the first one. So either if you like really kitschy Showa stuff, start with Ichigo. Otherwise, start with Kuga or Double. I think that's really the best way to go for now. But I wouldn't really suggest avoiding it. Strengths, really great B-cast, handful of really good episodes. Weaknesses are absolutely abysmal pacing and this dang love triangle. And go. And bad suits.
Okay, so it's a bad show overall. It has poor pacing, bad and unclear messages. The supposedly humorous editing and directing was a turnoff, and it treated the characters really poorly for the most part, and not even in an interesting way or entertaining way. I recommend people do not watch Drive at all, especially as an entry point, unless they really enjoy cop dramas, but it didn't do that very well either.
Okay, but I really enjoy cop dramas, and I wouldn't recommend it for that.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's just going to make you angry because this is not a cop drama.
Okay, good point. That'd be like Claire with Double. She was so pissed because it wasn't like true hardboiled detective for her.
Okay, but I don't think Double was supposed to be.
Right, but that's not what it sounds like. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time.
But this is supposed to be a cop drama, and it's
without question, yeah, that's true. So the weaknesses, I'd say, were go, pacing, lack of structure, and convoluted timeline, because, okay. Make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially, like, in 48, where they're like, yes, that all happened a month ago, and then in the middle of that, they talk about the thing that happened a month ago before that, and it's just like, no, this timeline doesn't make sense in this episode.
The strengths were Rina, Kiriko, Chase in all his forms, even when he's a bad guy. I love that crazy suit he's got and everything. But by the way, the premium SH figure art with him that comes with all his attachments from the like Romeo Chase cars or shift cars, beautiful.
The Viral Course,
thank you very much. Beautiful stuff. So there we go. Type Trideron's design I really enjoyed. I think it's a strength to the show, especially because it's like a realization of the base form in like a really neat way. And then the Nier Thief episodes shine as well. So,
yeah, and for my own part, like, look, I am happy to admit that maybe it'd hold together better if you marathoned it. Like, I doubt it, but I'll allow for the possibility. But as it stands, I put it at a 1 out of 5, just kind of down there in the muck with Guy. Like, on top of bad pacing, take a drink, it's either got a heart of malevolent authoritarianism, or to be more generous, the people putting it together didn't bother trying to say anything and just wanted to have more thing. Which of those is the greater sin, I can't say. I really agree with you guys, though, that there are some really good episodes, some good suits, and I do feel like the cast acquitted themselves quite well and elevated some pretty weak material a lot farther than it really had any business being. As for the weaknesses, the concept and the execution.
So everything.
Pretty much.
Sorry.
Question two. Where would you rank Drive in terms of writer series, and how would you compare it to other Neo Heisei series, or Heisei Phase 2? I know I've heard people be very up in arms about the term Neo Heisei.
I stick with post-decade Heisei myself. just because that feels the most accurate. You can't really argue that. This is all Heisei that came after Decade. So, my ranking, top to bottom for post-Decade Heisei, is Forze, Double, Wizard, O's, Drive, Gaim. Double only beats out Wizard because of the structural problems Wizard had. If the writing problems hadn't been there due to Koyomi's agency being terrible, Wizard probably would trump Double. I'm not personally big on broad sweeping comparisons of full shows, because there are a lot of differences between all of them, and different writers and producers, directors and actors, kind of all set into a series with different goals, and I don't think that's good grounds to compare them. I'm willing to pit the writing of Drive and Double against each other because it was the same two writers for both shows. And therefore, I think that's grounds for comparison, because there's a common point between them, and then seeing what happened on either side. I need that sort of thing to establish a reason. Otherwise, it just feels like I'm going to be putting one thing down to elevate another, and that's not really how I play the game.
It's how I play the game.
All right, I'll admit that I've only seen a few writer shows in their entirety, but this list will conclude everything. But I'd say Drive shares the bottom of the Gaim for me. It may even be slightly below it because of the position Shinosuke is in as a state agent, as opposed to all the teens in Gaim. So I expect, just like in real life, where I expect more from police officers, I expect more from them in fiction. Anyway, let's see. So from the bottom to top, I would go Gaim and Drive are kind of tied, then Double, then O's, then Wizard, and then Forze.
Well, again, like I was saying earlier, my ranking is pretty low. Its lack of ambition combined with its lack of craft. Need I honestly tell someone who's curious about Ryder and shared my taste to skip it, or at least wait till they'd seen everything else first? My ranking would be similar. Gaim and Drive, tied at the bottom, followed by Double, followed by Wizard, followed by O's, followed by Forza. And that's just in favorites. I have a whole separate ranking just for the ones I think that are crafted well, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
See, I can't put Drive on the same level of Gaim.
I understand. I just...
It's just, I can't do it, just because there are literally no good people in suits in Gaim. There, no one. No one is a good person. No one actually involved in this fight is a good person. And I can't rationalize putting Drive, which has several good people on the hero side, and also several bad people, but like several legitimately heroic people on the same level of Gaim, which was a bunch of people trying to legitimately hurt each other for no reason other than I want to hurt this person.
I will not argue with you.
Because I certainly see where you're coming from too.
Yeah, I get that. I'm so bitter towards this show, towards Drive, for what it's done to its good characters. But, we don't need to belabor the point, so...
It's just... The thing is, like, I can put Drive above Gaim only because there were those good parts.
Now, speaking of
there was nothing good in Gaim for me.
Question 3. Who was your favorite and least favorite characters, and why?
I'm going to put aside Dream Vegas and Dimension Cab, because including them is unfair. That would be unfair to literally every other character. Favorites, them aside, were Rina and Kiriko, and the surprising dark horse that was Medic. I hated Medic for most of the show. She turned out to be one of my favorites. That was an absolutely beautiful bit of writing pulled out in the 11th hour, and I'm livid that they took her away from me immediately after that. Ota and Brain are also up there. I really enjoyed them. I feel like all the girls had really interesting stories that I would have absolutely loved to have seen more of. That is a disappointment that there was just not more of that. Ota and Brain, I thought, had really interesting chemistry with the people around them. And they just brought me these little nuggets of joy throughout this roller coaster of a show. Least favorite position is Go earned that the moment he walked on set and maintained it until the moment he walked off. As much as I think his story had a decent ending, it doesn't forgive the fact that he was massively abusive and inappropriate, and I don't feel that anything he did was appropriate for a hero character.
Yeah, that's fair. I start off negative and try to go positive, so Go was the worst for me because he was basically a villain that no one ever called out for being just on this side of the line of evil. Anyway, so there's that. And then Chase was the best character for me for fully embodying the original spirit of Kamen Rider. And of course, like, Kiriko and Rina are great because they're such solid characters. But really, I really did love Chase. So, and he got, you know, so much more focused than them that I, you know, that's kind of how I naturally attach to characters.
I clearly don't need that much focus if you look at my top favorites from any show.
That's good. I mean, someone's got to love the characters who get no love.
And that's me. That has always been me.
And that's good.
That is my job.
Now, for me, my least fave, as with everyone else, is Go. Again, you take him out and give his arc to Kiriko, and this is a much better show.
That would have been
favorite?
Fun to see.
What's that?
That would have been really fun to see.
Yeah. And my actual favorites. In this case, are the other characters who I think would have made for much better protagonists, which is to say, Chase, Hart, or Kiriko, as any of those would have been really fun to watch.
I saw a really good design for a Hart, for like Hart as a writer recently.
Yeah.
I will try and dig that up. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, question 4. Story arcs and episodes. What were your favorites, and what makes them stand out for you?
Okay, everyone take your shot.
Okay.
It's the Bokendra arc, which is probably more appropriate to call the Taro arc, but I'm not going to call it that. My joy in seeing Haruka and Mikami set aside, overall, I think it was a really well-written arc. It had a lot of really good suspense, a really good ending twist that I didn't see coming. I wish we knew more of the aftermath for Haruka's character, whose name I can never quite remember. Was she arrested? Did she get to continue her career? Like, what mental impact did this have on her in the long run? I would like to know that. It was a really good arc for showing off Kiriko, and it had the pacing, direction, and beats of a cop drama that I think is the show that Drive really wanted to be, and wasn't after that. Equally special to me is Medic's backstory arc. It's not an angle many people choose to take on things, and when it comes up, I always get really nervous because I don't expect people to do the bond between people and their pets the kind of justice that it can have, especially on that emotional level. But Drive really nailed it, and I will always appreciate Drive for that, if nothing else.
Okay, I would say that for me, episode story arc, I kind of have it all combined into one, more or less. The Nier trilogy is tops for being like what the show should have been the entire time, but I can't exclude Medic's backstory. Those two episodes were really, really good, and it was great to actually see her contextualized in a very novel way. The whole thing with the pet, like you were saying, Sano, is just like amazing, as opposed to it being some romantic interest, which, you know, that's tried and tired, I think.
Yeah, just a bit. As we saw later in the show when they tried to do love interests. Sigh. But I think I will make it unanimous, because I also like the Medic bit, and honestly, I really enjoyed most of the bits exploring who the Roy Mutes are and who they copied and what they took from those people. I think that was some of the best stuff in the show. Besides those and the bits you've guys mentioned, though, I'm kind of at a loss. those bits where Go didn't say anything for episodes at a time. Those were pretty great.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't write this in my notes, but I just thought of it. The episodes with Q and Q2. Those were really good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
On their own, I think they worked great, but boy, they're frustrating in the context of the rest of the series.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We found out Roimutes can be good, just like people. Are we going to do anything with that revelation? No.
No.
No. Let's keep murdering them. That sounds awesome. Now, question 5. Is Drive the kind of series that you would find yourself rewatching at some point?
The whole show? Probably not. Select episodes? Maybe. Bokendra arc? Almost definitely. That was just a really good arc, and also I want to watch my children.
No.
Yeah, it's not going to happen for me either. Question 6. Headcanons. Which is your biggest one about Drive?
Now we are speaking my language. Okay, this actually has very little to do with the show itself, but it's something a friend and I were kicking around one day after remembering there was a second grave with Kiriko and Go's mother. Because basically what I do with headcanons is I find a plot hole and then I fill it in.
That's to do.
And so there's this second grave, and on this second grave is the name Imoto Sachiko. Sachiko is a woman's name. So we immediately jump to their mother being bi and in a relationship with a woman after getting out of Dodge with Bono.
Liking it.
And that's where we started. Hmm. But there's also the fact that Imoto is the surname of the Virgo Zodiacs, Imoto Kunitero, Teru. I am drunk and don't know my vowels. This led to assumptions of him being related to Sachiko, sister.
Oh my gosh.
Something.
And, this is exciting.
Him helping to take care of Kiriko and Go after their mother and Sachiko died from ? Probably mostly sending them money, checking in, and making sure they were okay. Like he had probably already been doing for Kengo, because otherwise who raised this space baby? I mean, it was this kind of weird gap in the show of just who raised these two when they were children, and that's kind of where we went with filling it in with this weird, like, piece of information that we got and the show did absolutely nothing with.
I actually kind of like it. I'm gonna keep that one.
Yeah, that is really cool. I didn't really have anything in my head or, you know, any headcanons for this because, I didn't care that much about the show.
Yeah, me either. But while I didn't have any headcanons, I did have a world of alternate universe ideas where you could just tweak this thing in some small way and create a show that I think I would like. Like, usually it's the simple ones like Kamen Rider Chase and his secondary writer, Kamen Rider Heart, who fight corrupt writer cops.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, which I think just sounds like a lot of fun. Or, you know, Kamen Rider Drive starring Kiriko. Or with Hayase as Mach. Or, you know, stuff like that. But that brings us
to... What if we had Kamen Rider Drive as Kiriko and Hayase as Mach?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in. I think, yeah.
Well, Shinosuke can't do anything, so we're going to do it.
Yeah, he's just going to go around and talk about how smart he is all the freaking time. He's going to do up his tie again. Oh, I'm in Top Gear now. It's like, oh, that's great. Some of us
work for a living. That's nice, Shinosuke. The adults are talking.
Yeah. Now, question 7 from Jason. What do you want to see in Ghost? What elements of the franchise do you hope to see return or be done away with in Ghost?
Okay, the biggest element of the franchise that I want to resurface is fun. I want this show to be fun. That's all I want from Ghost. And hey, it looks like it's going to be. I've got really good vibes from it. I'd like another cool lady villain. I don't know where we are on that front with Ghost. But, I mean, if we get one, she's going to die, and I don't know if my heart can take it. But, I mean, as long as Akari is good and the show is fun, I'll probably be fine. My only real hesitation is I have a thing about eyes, and I've already seen a couple of things that have made me iffy. But, you know, the show hasn't even started. As long as we don't have, like, eye stabbing, I'll probably be okay. The one thing I want to be done away with is all of this, like, DVD extra episode nonsense.
God, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Stop doing that!
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, I understand that they're trying to make sure there's an incentive for buying the DVDs, but that's not...
But, like, make it something that doesn't affect the actual plot.
Yeah, you don't actually hide relevant plot information away on that.
And, like, stop making the movie so important, like, just stop, because not everyone's going to get to see those, and it's going to make your show really confusing.
This is true. I really hope there's no eye stabbing either. That would be pretty terrible.
Yeah. That's not a thing. Like, that's an imitatable action that maybe we should avoid.
Good point.
Yeah, it's like, I actually really don't like this belt. I don't like how it looks.
I will say.
I don't like how it looks, and I just have a thing about eyes. About physical eyeballs.
It's kind of bulky and hideous, isn't it?
Yeah.
The texture looks like that weird, like, rubbery silicone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, and it doesn't match the suit.
I guess it's trying to call attention to itself, maybe? I don't know.
I can let all of that go as long as we're not, like, physically breaking the icons in any way, because I'm not going to be able to handle it. Like, as long as they never stick anything into that eye in the belt, or, like, start stabbing the icons or any of that, like, I'll be fine. Just don't do that.
All right, you just talking about it is freaking me out now.
Yeah, see, this is what I live with.
Okay, so moving on from that, I want Ghost to center on heroism and positivity in the writer and their team. I'd like to see every team member or friend of the writer be really important to the plot, or like really matter and like be a full character. I'd like to see neutralizations or captures of the enemies if possible. Well, it's possible because the writers can make the rules of the universe and set it up to be like that.
They didn't kill, well, they couldn't kill any of them, but I mean, they still didn't.
In what?
In Blade.
Oh, in Blade, okay.
They just captured all of them.
There you go.
I mean, technically you can't kill them, but I mean, they could have found a way to do it, and they didn't.
Forza.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see, and then finally, I'd like to see no single damsel in distress like Kiriko or Mai. So his friend is Akira, is that right?
Akari.
So, like, if Akari gets captured, but, like, also other, like, the temple, the monk gets captured, too, like, that's cool.
Capture our Shunpei.
Or capture him. Captured, and she fights her way out. Oh, hey, thanks for coming to get me. I'm good.
I punched this guy in the face while I was waiting.
Like,
I mean, I've got a lot of good feelings about her reading her character description, which I'm taking with a grain of salt, because Lord knows those have not been accurate over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, reading her character description, she sounds kind of like Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Nice!
Which is cool.
And I'm into that. Like, she's skeptical, but isn't, like, Ota denying.
Good.
Isn't being like, this thing that's clearly happening isn't happening. She's not doing that. She's just like, okay, well, I'm a physicist, so I want to figure out, this is clearly happening, but I need to figure out why.
It's a good hook.
I'm into it.
And for my own part, like, the thing I want more than anything is I just want ambition to come back in Kamen Rider shows. The best, or, you know, for me, the most interesting writer shows are the ones that try to say something. They try to explore a theme. Or if they don't do that, they try and pull some really interesting narrative move that makes you lean back and sort of utter obscenities under your breath, because wow, did they just holy. And I just want them to have done something by the end of the show, that's all. I don't feel like that should be asking so much, but after the past couple of years, apparently it is.
Yeah.
And finally, question 8. This is more of a question about the podcast itself. We're going to get real meta up in here. Since I'm hoping it'll continue during Ghost, that is the plan, will you be bringing on more hosts to discuss Ghost with you guys, or are we in the sweet spot in terms of the number of hosts?
To be quite honest, I'm not even sure how I got here. I wandered in one week and just... and they kept me. I am the stray cat of this show. I'm totally on board for weekly ramblings about Ghost. I'm pretty hype about it. I'm not sure who we'd bring on if we brought someone on, but hey, I'm up for whatever. I just show up every week prepared to fight and hope for the best, and the best is usually what happens.
First of all, thank you for the endorsement of saying that you hope it'll go on during Ghost, the show. That's nice. I don't know about opening up the show to any more hosts at this point, like permanently or on a regular basis, but it could be fun to have on a single special guest every now and then, especially if, if there's a special pet issue someone wants to talk about and has a lot to say about it, like that'll increase my willingness to, schedule and plan and do all sorts of, you know, hoop jumping to get you to come on.
Yeah, and for my own part, I'd love to, but I know a lot of it, like you're saying, comes down to scheduling, which can be really weird given our disparate locations and schedules. Like, me and Jonathan are 7-8 hours removed from everyone else because we are not on the continent of North America. But, you know, barring new hosts, I do like to think that we'll keep an open and active rapport with you, the listener, as we get a lot out of hearing what folks have to say. And hopefully you all get something hearing what each other have to say.
Okay. I guess that's it for that part. So Jason, thanks for, by the way, Jason... your handle is... Wait, let me just double-check real fast. Hold on. I'm really sorry this is taking a lot longer than I thought it would because I'll just blame it on the drink. Isn't there a song about that?
Probably. Yep. I mean, that's most of what the country genre is based on.
okay, so My Michelle on Tumblr. Never mind, I was going to make a comment about someone else's username, but that's okay. I get your emails, so that's why there's the disconnect for me there. But anyway, thanks for sending in all those questions for us, and everybody else, if you want to send in questions, feel free to. We're kind of going to be changing up our format for Ghost. I'm waiting Aleph looked it over and he said he liked it, but I'm going to ask Sono and John to look it over too and see how they like it, and I think it'll be a little looser, it'll be easier work for us because we'll just be kind of going off prompts more than anything.
I liked what I saw. I had to look over it real quick because I was at work.
Right. But hopefully that new structure will open us up more to receiving questions from the listeners. And if we get like 30, obviously we'll either have to answer them very like in two words, or like a single sentence, or we'll have to, you know,
parse
delay
it down
some
a bit.
Of them. Yeah, exactly. So. But we're definitely open to it.
And I mean, if there's ever anything, like, even if we do have to parse it down, you can always come to us on Twitter and ask the questions.
This is true.
I'm more than happy to ramble about anything at any given time.
And also, if you really wanted to, we could always do, like, feedback-type episodes where we just go over a bunch of questions if we get that many. So.
Look, you know, like, I am never, well, maybe not never, I am rarely averse to a reader mails special. I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
We
always find really fun things to talk about when people talk at us.
True, and we haven't done one of those yet, so that would be a first for us.
Would be.
Okay. Well, I think I should probably jump out unless, I don't know, I kind of have time.
Oh, cool.
You know
hey.
What? What the hell? I'll stay
hey,
on.
If you got time.
Yeah.
So that leads us into audience participation, but before we begin, some math has come to my attention that I just want to share with people.
Oh, yes, I almost forgot about this. And by the way, I'll jump out in like 25 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I had said earlier that Shinosuke killed around 85% of the people Hart knows, but thanks to listener Chris Lee, who made for us, or maybe for himself, an Excel spreadsheet of how every Roymute on screen has bought it, we now know that Shinosuke has personally killed directly as part of a combo, or with Trideron, which is controlled by part of what makes him drive. He has personally killed 35% of the people Hart knows, and aided and or abetted another 36% of the people Hart knew by supporting the other two Kamen Riders. This means that I overstated things a bit, and that Shinosuke killed between 35 and 71% of the people Hart knows. Uncommon Cast RX apologizes for the oversight.
And I love to. Chris sent us his feedback via email, uncommoncastrx@gmail.com. You can find it at the bottom of the show notes and at the end of the show. He brought up that Chase actually ends up killing more Romudes when he switches and becomes Machine Chaser, or Kamen Rider Chaser, sorry, than Go actually does. So that's interesting.
That is interesting, but also we shouldn't let Go do anything ever.
Yeah, he's terrible at everything. He's terrible at being funny. He's terrible at being evil. He's great at looking sad and shaking. I will give him that one.
Yeah,
this is true.
Like, that was some good stuff.
While we're talking about Excel spreadsheets, I have one that I'm putting together. I am timelining all of Heisei Kamen Rider parallel to each other. That's a thing I'm doing. I'm taking every show.
I'm trying to find a unified timeline.
1971 to current. I'm very interested in when scientists in Kamen Rider may have crossed paths. Because I think a lot of them may have. Again, Museum and like Kengo's dad and Gamma were in very similar lines of work. They were researching very similar things. It would make sense for them to have crossed paths at some point. I'm interested in seeing what may have happened at the same time if it was a unified timeline.
Basically, everyone just stopped in at London to see Osawa give another lecture, and they were all inspired. At least that's how Harley got in there.
A weird amount of stuff happened in 1999.
Well, that's when they were broadcasting from the year 1999. You guys ain't seen Prince. Have you guys seen Prince of Darkness? John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness is off the chain.
I mean, the meteor hits Shibuya in Kabuto. The first Dopants begin attacking Futo. I think the Roymudes actually, like Hart and the first couple of Roymudes, I think were actually created in 1999. And then January 2000, Kuga starts. But I'm bringing this up because if anyone knows any specific dates or any, like, month and year of when things happened in any shows, feel free to drop me a line on Twitter or Tumblr with that, because this is going to be really hard to fill in by myself.
It sounds like it would be. That's a very ambitious undertaking, and I look forward to you completing that. That should be crazy.
It's going to require rewatching a lot of shows, but that's something I planned on doing anyway. I anticipate Denno messing all of this up. I anticipate Denno ruining everything.
Denno kind of is in the habit of that, yeah. That's why I love it.
Yeah, if you happen to have watched a show or be a really big fan of one specific show, happen to know some dates of when things happened in them, feel free to drop me a line with it. I'd appreciate the help.
Do you want me to include Black or not? Because I'm going to be rewatching that soon.
I'm starting at Kuga.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you want to, toss it in there, because I planned on going back to Heisei anyway at one point once I got through, or going back to Showa.
Right.
I have just finished this bottle. going back to Showa once I'd finished through Heisei, but I mean, if you're watching it and you make note of dates, I'll put it in there.
there is a scientist who creates something called the RX engine, which I was confident was going to make black into black RX, which doesn't. because
there's a lot of really neat scientists in black.
Yeah, there are.
Who I think would definitely have had a role in shaping Kamen Rider World if we're going with the unified universe thing.
So anyway, I remember that guy, but I'll be making notes, so I'll make sure to.
I'll provide a link, to the timeline.
Okay.
If anyone wants to check it out, see what's already there. There's not a lot, but there's some stuff.
Man, since we are speaking of audience participation, let's get to the audience participation.
All right.
See how that segue went? That was smooth as ice. Question one. Hart believes Shinosuke was his friend. Do you?
I'll do as many of these as I can. So Swirly Jiffy said, I believe that Shinosuke was willing to coexist with Hart and understood why Hart was evil.
Okay.
If Hart was evil. I mean, he's done some bad stuff, but I honestly don't think he's worse than everyone's favorite evil cop.
The thing is, like, evil is a weirdly subjective thing, and Hart has never considered himself evil, because what Hart was doing was for the good of his own kind.
This is true.
So evil is a really weird thing here.
It's always hard for me when people, like, drop in evil or villain, unless they're talking about cops who have used their authority or use it capriciously. At which point I'm happy to throw the E-word around. As y'all will have noticed.
It's just a weird thing, and I think of Go-Onger, because the villains are presented as wanting to do a bad thing for the whole show, and then at the very end of the show you find out their reason why, and you're like, oh, no, you guys were actually pretty much trying to do what Hart was trying to do.
Hmm.
I think a lot about that.
It's a good thing. Like I like when your villain motivations are, they think they're the heroes, just their values are in complete opposition to ours.
Right.
Opposition.
I'll do Chris Lee's too. Okay.
Okay.
So Chris Lee answered, not friend as such, more acquaintance with shared experiences. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I can get on board with that.
Now, Gord Captain answered, oh god, no. Like, maybe if they pulled a Fize and met a few times in a battling cage, I'd buy it. And man, I love the first 40 episodes of Fize for the most part. But they were rivals at best. Also, you know, Shinosuke murdering most of the Roy Nudes as opposed to arresting them, like a police officer's supposed to do. Arg! I love G3, and that works for me due to how desperately outgunned the G3 unit is in Akito, and how the unknown don't really show any intelligence to the cops, just crazy serial killing. It's well within the Drive cops' ability to arrest the Roy Mutes, just don't smash the cores. It takes a specific invention to smash the cores in-universe. You invented the main Drive suit over Proto Drive entirely so you could make a non-lethal police weapon more lethal, Krim. Ah!
And I'm on board with that. I'm just wondering how they could actually arrest the Roy Mutes. Like, how would they contain them?
I mean, I don't know if it's because of Medic being special or being a Roy Mute herself, but she was able to hold on to Brain's core.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, so you grab them. You can't put them in a cell. They'll go between the bars. They're small. Like,
they
what
are very
would you...
little. We need to make tiny bars.
What, I'm just wondering, like, what would you contain them in?
I say a tiny net.
Fake science nonsense. Put them in the hole Krim went in.
Yeah, no, you could do that.
Let's just put Krim in the hole again.
Oh, and how much more effective would that have been if, you know, Shinosuke, we've been putting these, Romudes in this hole, and now I'm going to go in there with the shift cars, like... And we're going to rehabilitate them.
That's actually probably a really bad idea, though.
Yeah, but...
I mean, think about that one for a minute. That's probably not a good idea.
Okay. Why? Because Krim is evil?
Well, also because Krim is evil, but because you've got a lot of really angry Roymudes in there who would then have access to a bunch of tiny magic cars.
This is true.
Look, they get when
nothing about that
their,
seems safe. That's a really small contained space for people to be fighting.
Okay, Aelif, we were all over you, so do you want to get anything in?
Oh, no, I was just, you know, I'm just like, you know I believe, you know I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're all down with Krim in the hole.
Well, that too.
I feel like I'm down with Krim in the hole.
Yeah, that does sound kind of gross. But yeah, I'm down with what Gord Captain was saying. I'm entirely of that mind.
Yeah, no, generally I do agree. I'm just, like, the actual logistics of the arrest is something that I've never been able to quite parse out.
Look, I mean, they could make up all the nonsense about how the Roy Mutes work that makes no sense. What's one more thing that doesn't make sense in Drive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just... I'm all on board with actually arresting them instead of killing them. It's just I'm stuck on this weird logistic point of what do you do with them then?
No, understood. Now, Jason said they were friends.
I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt real fast. So you get the little box that they're in, and then you stick them in here, and then wait a couple seconds, and when the light is green, the trap is clean.
I'm down, yeah. Oh, man, sorry. That new Ghostbusters movie. I'm normally just so down about reboots but it's like all lady Ghostbusters. All right, you got my attention.
Are they going with the whole franchise idea in this?
I don't know. I know Sigourney Weaver makes a guest appearance, and so does Ernie Hudson. So I don't know if it's as Dana and Winston, but
That's interesting.
Very interesting. I'm kind of hoping that it's, you know, since the one in the 80s was about the American small businessman. Rising above regulation, I sort of wonder if in the 2010s we're at the point where it's like, oh yeah, and corporations are also kind of a little too big and unwieldy themselves, aren't they?
Yes.
But anyway, Jason had said, yes, they were friends. While they did help each other out in the last few episodes, and while Shinosuke has saved some Roy Mutes from time to time, they still spent a majority of the series trying to kill each other. Force the spoilers inbound. While you could argue that this the same about Gentaro and Gamo becoming friends at the end of Forza, there are some pretty big differences. Gamo never really tried all that hard to kill Gentaro himself, and in the end he accepted his faults and moved on. Hart, on the other hand, still insisted to the end that the Roy Mutes were superior to humanity, and claimed that he wanted to die at the hands of a friend comes across as manipulative. Even if the characters consider each other friends, I just can't buy the idea.
Hart has always been manipulative. And that's a thing people have argued with me about. Hart has been manipulating literally everyone in this really unintentional way for this entire show, and it's always been something that's bothered me about him. I like Hart, but like this entire show he's been like, you're my friend, so you should do this. To pretty much everyone. And that's a thing with me, because that's a way people have treated me that has turned out really badly.
Yeah.
But on the note of Gamo and Gentaro, Gentaro is friends with literally anyone, regardless of the fact that they have murdered him.
Yeah.
He befriended...
Not even tried! He literally befriended someone who actually murdered him.
With his hands.
And he's like, nah, bro, we're cool.
Oh, no,
this
no.
is true.
It's cool. I understand who you are now. Now we can be friends.
And I mean, like, I was okay with that. I was a little not okay with the fact that everyone else just accepted it. I was a little annoyed that everyone else wasn't like, okay, well, Gentaro says we're all friends with you, but we're watching you, son. We got our eye on you.
I would also like to point out, and this wasn't as personal for him, but it's still funny. He befriended a weapons platform. So
yes. Yeah, he did.
They
yeah.
said it couldn't be done. They said that it's a mindless machine just made for killing. And he said he was the man who was going to befriend that weapons platform, and he freaking did it.
He befriended a completely mindless personal computer.
Yep. Our writer,
in the beginning
Martin
of
high
that
school,
movie.
He did a friend shake with it.
Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of adolescence, I shall fear no Zodiarts, for thou art with me. Thy drill and thy rocket, they comfort me.
He befriended literally anything that was put in front of him. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not Gamo considered him a friend. And I can't totally remember, like, the context of Gamo at the end, so I'm not sure
Gamo
if he did.
Gamo was mostly just like, oh man, those kids. The world's like, gonna be alright, I'll let them take care of it.
Yeah, I think that was really Gamo being like, you know what, they made me realize I screwed up.
Yep.
I don't know if he actually considered them his friends.
Yeah, well, that's good, because he's like a 50-year-old man, and they're like...
I mean, yeah, no, for real.
It's not a... Yeah. But, Gentro, like, here's the thing, if Gentro is in this show ends in episode 2, because he's like, oh, hey, Roy Mutes, come on, guys.
It's like, hey, what if you just don't kill people and we all go out for hamburgers?
Yeah.
And that's it. That's Drive. That's the end of the show.
Yeah, let's go down to McDonald's. We'll hash this stuff out. Not a problem. Gentro's the best writer.
I won't argue with that.
Yeah, you probably should though, because like I did that whole casual blasphemy thing again, but I really like Forza.
No, I think it's hilarious.
Okay, good. Like, it's supposed to be that way. It's coming from a place of love and not of like derision. Because trust me, it's coming from a place of deep love
for Forza.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's fine. Okay, so we haven't actually discussed how to answer or pronounce his name. It's spelled out Mom or You, so is that supposed to be Momorio?
Momorio. It's Momotaros and Ryotaros, I'm assuming. I'm assuming that's where this name comes from.
Well, from a writer fan, that would make sense. Okay.
Yeah. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Oh, speaking of Denno, oh my goodness, I could not sleep well last night, so I got up and I put on Kenshin Part 3. And watch like a good 30 to 45 minutes of it. I'm at an hour. I have like an hour. I'm an hour and 4 minutes actually. And like I am so excited.
Yeah, you are,
to see what's gonna happen because like it's crazy.
Yeah, that kid can move.
that kid actually Ryutaros, his backup dancers,
yeah,
are actually Takeru's like street dance group.
Yeah. He started as a break dancer.
Oh.
With all his
and he just brought them into Denno.
That's so
sometimes.
Cool.
Sometimes.
Yeah, because on top of everything else, he's a good bro.
Yeah.
Hey like, guys, you wanna get some of this Toei money? That's not a lot of money, dude. Alright, do you want to get on TV? Yeah.
Like he's just such a good dude, I can't get over him going to see the Kenshin premiere with the Romeo and Juliet cast. That's like the highlight of everything for me. Because I now just have a picture of him, Suda Misaki, and Ishinomako all together. In one photo. It's a good time in my life.
Is that a straight adaptation or is that like the anime?
No, it's back. They were in a stage play.
Oh, that's super cool.
I believe Juliet was also, I want to say she was Wakana, but I might be wrong about that. It's been a couple of years since I watched it. It's not subbed, but it's straight Romeo and Juliet, so it doesn't really need to be.
Yeah, I guess that's true. it's a pretty basic story. But fantastic. So I kind of got into a fight with an English teacher about him calling Romeo and Juliet cliche and me calling it great and like foundational.
It's not cliche.
If it came first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I am mad at this person upon your behalf. Like, I thought I was mad at the teacher I had who's like, oh yes, the message of Lord of the Flies that man is basically sinful. Like, I was mad at that guy before. I am now mad at you.
Yeah, okay, please shove that guy on an island.
Like, he didn't even tell us about how it's a reaction to another book that came before it about how all the British schoolboys get stuck on an island, have a great time and tame the savage natives and are basically the best people ever, and he's I have a lot.
Wow, you know what that reminds me of? Sure. Just the premise of that. Hmm. Like, the original Jungle Book, and like, man ends up in the jungle and becomes the king of the jungle despite, you know, not having fangs or claws or anything because man is the dominant species, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I believe that sort of thing to in a certain way, but like, man, because of the humankind, because of the, you know, power that we have above nature.
Yeah,
like,
the power of friendship.
Exactly. Like, we're responsible to
Amazon.
Take care of things.
Like, just watch Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon is perfect.
I will have to watch that. I have that ready to go.
Oh, please watch Amazon. Amazon is legitimately really good.
Look, unless you have a thing about blood, I don't even have that big a thing. Like, I have the super empathy, so I'm like, I'm watching the monster fight Amazon. I'm like, oh, don't fight him! Don't fight him! Run! Run!
Yeah, like, the thing is, I actually have a thing about fake blood. I'm way more freaked out by fake blood than real blood. But it's literally just paint in Amazon. It's not even fake blood. They are literally just, like, spewing a can of paint through a hose.
That's pretty funny. There's, like, a really weird, like, almost Norman Rockwell-style painting of Amazon holding a little kid on his shoulders.
Oh, that's probably his small child friend.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He has a small child friend.
Yeah, his Tomodachi, right?
Yes.
Anyway. It's a really funny picture. But we should move on to the next question, right?
Yeah, let's
still have to do Momo Rio's.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got distracted there.
We started talking about Deno, and then...
it spun out from there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Momo Rio responded, not really. I've always enjoyed their dynamic. This is Heart and Shinosuke. But like most things in Drive, it wasn't expanded upon or focused on enough for this to pay off to feel satisfying. Although I will admit, even if the material they were given wasn't great, Heart's actor sold it amazingly well, so I wasn't as annoyed with this part as some of the other things in this episode.
I mean, I agree. Like, in the moment, I was really into it, because I got really emotional, and his actor really did sell it, but then, like, in hindsight...
Yeah. 2 seconds later, you're like, wait a minute. That's nonsense. He murdered every... Yeah, you know how he's your first new friend? That's because he murdered all of your old ones. Or, again, 71% of his old ones.
Right.
Between 35 and 71%.
Depending on how you count.
Yeah. Now, question two. Which Roimude was Heart saying surpassed humanity? Was it Heart? Who was it?
Swirly Jiffy said, I'd like to think he was saying Chase, but I'm guessing he meant Heart, as Heart was the one he was talking to.
Chris Lee answered, no idea. Chase, maybe? He seems the most likely candidate. We'll have to rewatch.
I rewatched
and I still am not sure.
I would just like to point out that this isn't a failing on our part if two people, especially like Swirly Jiffy, Ian, he like has disagreed with us on stuff, so he isn't just parroting like our opinion on this or whatever. Like, definitely not. And, like, Chris and I have huge disagreements on, like, Garo, because he loves it. And so, like, once again, this isn't someone just, like, following along with the show. Because I know there are some people who listen, or I believe there are some people who listen because they don't enjoy the things that we say and they get mad at us, which is, like, I understand that. So, like, this isn't one of those things. This is definitely something was wrong here. It was very vague, and that's why nobody knows who exactly was being spoken about at the time.
I'm wondering if maybe there was a weird translation issue.
Yeah, I almost wonder that too.
It does seem likely.
Again, I would have to go back and rewatch and actually pay closer attention to what exactly was said. But I am wondering if, because this was so unclear to like everyone, that maybe there's a weird translation thing here.
Hmm. I wonder if anybody who listens watched the TVN version, because I watched Overtime. I don't know. What about you two?
I watched Overtime just because those are usually out quicker.
I'm also not generally a big fan of TV Nihon Tachi's translation, Keikaku. I don't think it's Daijoubu.
<Well, laughs>
Alright, bro.
I can't breathe.
You've done it. You've killed him.
Alright.
I mean, that's something you and I are going to have a discussion on one day, because I have kind of weird opinions. I have a slightly different opinion on translating certain things.
Well, I get a lot of their things, and I agree with a lot of their stuff, and goodness knows, I joke at TV Nihon, but fact of the matter is, I would not have seen as much Rider as I did if they were not there subbing every last thing. I love them. I just, it's the thing, like Tachi, it refers to a group of people. It is a plural.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
I need to go anyway, but this is the perfect time for me to bow out.
All right, look, you just email us later. Let us know you're still alive, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I will. Oh, man, that's ridiculous. Okay, I gotta go. Carry on without me.
All right.
I should hit. I'll mute myself. Bye, everyone.
Bye. But even with Tachi, there are some instances, specifically, I'm gonna be predictable and go to Bokenger. Natsuki always refers to everyone as Natsuki-san Tachi. It's never by anyone else's name. And I want to go actually through Bokenger again and re-examine Natsuki's speech patterns, because I think she may not actually completely know the character, not the actress, obviously. The character, I don't think, completely knows how to speak properly. I think she may use very basic grammar. If that's true, that is an absolutely brilliant move on whoever decided that, because Natsuki has no memory. So, for plot reasons in her story, she wouldn't know how to talk. So Masumi would have had to teach her to talk, and would not have the patience to teach her. So if Natsuki knows a lot, is talking very basically, I think that's a good thing to really reflect in her speech.
Yeah, absolutely. We just watched Marathon Shinkenger with a friend.
Yes.
And, she had pointed out, and I actually had to agree, that there's the bit where they do their transformation, and in the overtime translation, and I say this understanding completely why they went with this translation, they use Imperial Report, because that is kind of what's being said. But over at TV Nihon, they use by the Order of Providence, which, I understand that that's one of those things where you definitely need a deeper understanding, the samurai, they report it's the emperor. The emperor had his own pronouns because he was literally divine, so when you say, okay, I'm doing this stuff for the emperor, in the name of the emperor, I am saying in the name of providence, heaven has authorized this thing I am about to do. I much prefer that, because
it
sounds boss as hell.
Also, a lot of people give TV Nihon grief for including translators' notes.
See, I don't get that.
A lot of them, I feel, are really good to know.
Yeah.
I know there's a translator's note about the Kuroko.
Yeah.
Which I know people who have watched other subs of that and therefore didn't get that, weren't given that translator's notes and just didn't know the cultural background behind what they were.
Yeah.
And therefore kind of missed a whole level on them.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's always been one of the things I go back and forth, because I love the translator notes, and I, even as I understand why people might have the problem. But, like, it's just sometimes, like, they don't translate things that I think they should translate. Like, they just leave them untranslated. But, you know, that's very...
I mean, there's also, watching Gaim, I watched the Acer subs of Gaim, and they changed the name of the Acorn Rider. I don't actually know either name now, because there were two different names going around for the entire show, and I didn't know which one was the actual name.
Yeah, the one Acer did was Ornak, and
okay.
That was the acronym of Acorn, and then there was...
I'm like, don't change proper nouns!
Yeah, I do think that one was a step too far. Because, I mean, like, there was also the variant driver.
You may as well have just called Kaito Shadow for the entire show, then.
Mm.
That would be literally the same thing.
I do have to say, like, again, like, one of the fun things with translation is finding all those bits where the aesthetic works for you or it doesn't. And like, it's always just that little thing, because, like, one of my favorite things is still the Acer sub of Forza. If only because, like, I love how they translated Uchukita. It's like, blast off! I'm like, yeah! Get me excited! As opposed to, like, it's space-time, which, like, it is a literal translation, but it's not quite the thematic one I would have gone with.
Yeah, and also, just a thing TV Nihon does that no one else that I've seen has done, they will translate signs or written things.
Yeah, a lot more consistently.
It was something I noticed when, because I watched the TV Nihon subs of Double when I first watched Double. I ended up watching overtime subs of the first three or four episodes. You miss the entire joke, like all of the jokes with Akiko's slippers and the joke with the way she changed the sign on the agency.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they don't tell you what those say.
Oh, see, I didn't know that was a joke there. Okay.
The kanji on Akiko's slippers is always related to the situation.
See, now that I knew, because I think
when she changed the sign, she put something about half boiled on it. I forget exactly, but like they're part of the joke, and I feel like you should take the time to include them if it's there.
No, I think that's totally legit.
So, I mean, I'm not really against any fan group, any subgroup. I know there are people very against TVN, there are people very against Overtime.
And I'm just, like, I guess I'm really too much of a utilitarian or a beggar who is occasionally a chooser. Because, I give TV Nihon crap because... Well, they're the biggest. And again, aesthetically, not always on board. Not always off board, but not always on board. And, like, I just give them crap because we're spoiled for choice now, and, like, it is a golden age.
Yeah.
Like, I remember VHS.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, oh, hey, it's the new U.S. Manga Corps release. Let's see what they've got. And they're like, it was invariably just...
Well, I mean, I still have I have two bootleg fan sub tapes that I bought. One I inherited from my friend that's the first Sailor Moon movie.
Nice.
I inherited that from my cousin. And I have a bootleg fan sub of Endless Waltz, which is amazing. In how badly it's subbed. And I recognize this even as I was watching it as a young child. They spell Relina's name three different ways.
my significant other, she used to do a lot of Region Zero, like Hong Kong rips of DVDs.
Oh, that's all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I watched ABBA Ranger.
Yeah, that's how she watched the latter part of Inuyasha.
God bless.
And they like, again, same thing, they translate the names like 8 different ways.
Yeah, no, there was a point in Aberranger, in watching the Hong Kong subs of Aberranger, because this was before there were better subs out. Hmm. There was literally nothing else. There was the first 13 episodes, I think, because someone did those, and then I had to resort to Hong Kong subs. There was a point at which they were subbing Jian's name as whatever Yukito's surname is. I can't remember what it is offhand, but they were subbing her name as his surname. And I'm like, we have reached a new low. And like, I was on heavy pain medication at the time, so I couldn't think that quickly. So I'm like, wait, what? What? He's not here right now. Oh, wait, they're talking about her? What? Because I just had my wisdom teeth out.
Ooh, ouch.
So I was on some heavy meds.
Now, just before we get going any further, gonna try and wrangle us back in.
Okay. Let's do this. Are we on Gord Captain?
Yes. Gord Captain.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to do it?
Go for it.
Gord Captain answered, "I have no idea how to answer this," and this in question being the question about which Roy Mute it was who had surpassed humanity. Hart probably didn't, because that would require him to do something other than pointless circuitous duels with the protagonists. I'm so disappointed in humanity as a whole in Drive, as represented by Krim, Shinosuke, Bano, Neera, and especially Go, that it's frankly not much of an achievement. It's like an entire series made out of my loathing of Shirakawa from the last few episodes of Agito. And Shirakawa's at least supposed to be a bad guy, I think? Point of order, Shirakawa is another Agito?
Yeah, he was definitely supposed to be bad.
Yeah, okay. I was just making sure that I was connecting it to
I assume that's who that is. I don't remember his name, but he was definitely supposed to be bad.
Yeah, that guy was evil. There's a lot of just terrible people in Agito, but at least they tended to agree that, oh no, this guy is evil. This guy is terrible.
Yeah, like, if someone was bad in Agito, everyone was like, no, that dude is not cool. Jason said, "I don't recall Hart saying any of the Roy Mutes surpassed humanity. I recall Shinosuke saying that Hart was the one to surpass humanity, though he never went into how." And that's what I remember also.
Okay.
And, because I remember being really upset that Shinosuke basically disregarded Chase.
Yeah, which is totally legit, because Chase, I would definitely be part of the contingent would say that Chase actually showed the most humanity.
Yeah, and it, like, right. I just remember being really, really annoyed about that.
And that brings us to Momoryu, who responded, "Both Shinosuke and the show seem to think that Hart was the only Roy Mute to become more than human, which is just baffling to me. Chase's whole character arc was about becoming more human, but, you know, he did die 2 episodes ago, so I can understand why Sanji would forget about him, since it's been so long." I appreciate your sarcasm, Memorio.
As do I.
Yeah. Also, what about Brain and Medic? Brain sacrificed himself to protect the 2 people closest to him, and Medic changed her ways and tried to help save the world, and then also sacrificed herself for someone else. Is that not enough to, quote, surpass, end quote, humanity? I don't buy Hart becoming more human at all, because it just feels like the show is telling me he is instead of showing me how." Interjection. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Pretty much.
He's the only one left, so he has to be the special one. Doesn't matter if he actually is or not, and we're not going to bother to show how, we're just going to tell you that he is. Yeah. Preaching
yeah.
the choir.
No. Yeah. That's it right there.
Now, question 3. How do we feel about the total elimination of the Roy Mute?
Swirly Jiffy said, "I honestly didn't foresee the Roy Mutes being embraced by humanity. Hart even said that he knew humans thought they were evil terrorists. And honestly, Bano had programmed them to be emotionally and psychologically broken to begin with. They were probably not going to have an easy time integrating if they were allowed to live. I think Heartbrain and Medic could have done it. I mean, they basically already did.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for, well, we could give them a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you could help them.
Mm. Chris Lee responded, sad, but to be expected. I can't think of any enemy force that survived a whole season since Kiva. Technically the Invis, I guess, but they're kind of infinite. The Zodiarts, like, most of them are okay.
They're all, aside from, you know, my favorite ones that got... Well, one of my favorite ones that got exploded, and my other favorite one that was left to die in space. You could say the same with the Dopants. They didn't usually kill them.
Yeah, I guess almost all of the Greed are hella dead.
Yeah, they're pretty dead.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, you know, they kept insisting that they were never really alive, but, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think, like, they ultimately really wanted...
Yeah, no.
...that kind of... They were basically animals surviving.
Yeah.
Not so much trying to integrate and take over. They were basically we don't really care about integrating to your society or creating our own society. We're just hungry.
Yeah.
This is how we get food.
Someone took out a piece of me, and I'm going to take it back out of all of your hides. And yeah.
I can respect that.
No, yeah. I mean, as far as villain motivations go, you can't. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, no, I don't think... Well, I mean, there were... Did any of the native worms survive in Kabuto?
I'm pretty sure.
They're probably... They probably did. And there are definitely still Imogen after Deno.
Yep.
Because they are the gravy train.
Yep. they'll never die because there's too much left in them.
It is a tragic thing that we kind of lean toward, let's just keep killing them.
Yep.
And again, I go back to Bokenger, we do also have some of the dragon people, the Jaryu, survive. Yep. It's just their leader is dead, but there are still a bunch of them around.
Yeah, which, like, that's how I, you know, like, I know Ryder is supposed to be a lot darker and more hardcore, but I do like when they don't do the whole genocide thing. I really much prefer when that.
Actually, I think technically the questers are the only group that actually died completely. Because what's his face just went back to sleep in a box.
Yeah.
So Bokenger basically let everyone live.
Yeah. Which.
Yeah, except the really angry cats.
Yeah. Well, you know they. They also weren't representative of an entire race. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure there were still more of their people in the mirror
there
world.
They were all kind of, like, locked in a weird mirror something.
I mean, they're still there.
Yeah, they're still there. They just can't really do anything. And also, like, they were literal demons that actually wanted nothing more than to murder all humanity for fun.
Yeah, like, you know, it's a bit different if they're a literal demon from hell.
Yeah. Sakura did scare the crap out of one of them, though.
Just by being angry.
Yeah. She told him to shut up, and he backed off for a couple seconds. It was
like,
great.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember the one where it's like, oh, hey, we took away your transformation device. What you gonna do now? Well, I'm going to get some assault rifles, and then I'm going to shoot you until you let my friends go.
Yep, and that's like, my girl.
Oh, here, have them back. You are way less dangerous with them.
Yeah, no, she is actually an Olympic class marksman.
Yep.
That is actual canon notes from reference material.
Yep.
Her special skill is shooting.
Yep. And she's good at it.
Bless her
soul. She does the rest because it's more fun.
Yeah.
Now, Gord Captain answered, intensely peeved on a moral and storytelling basis. Hack lazy writing that killed them all to tie a neat bow on the series, never examining what this meant. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You ain't messing around, Gord Captain.
Jason said, I don't really have any problem with it. With the exception of the one that copied Q earlier in the series, they were all shown to be pretty evil and terrible. Medic might have been an exception, but even then, that was only in her backstory and in her final moments because she herself was still a pretty terrible person, despite her love for Hart. Yes, Hart and Brain managed to overcome their programming to a certain extent, but there's nothing to guarantee that any Roimudes that didn't die would be able to overcome their program-based instincts and become decent people. It's sad to say, but their total elimination of their species was for the best.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, I am not going to say you aren't allowed to think it. I
disagree are,
on the strongest terms.
Yeah. I also very much disagree. I mean, a lot of them did very bad things.
Oh, no,
nothing excuses that. And I mean, I love Medic. I'm not going to excuse that Medic did very bad things and murdered several of her own kind for funsies.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I don't think that's just a reason to kill all of them and say that they couldn't have become good. Because a lot of them were never introduced to the possibility.
Well, and like, here's the thing. Like, we also come back to, you know, they had been intentionally psychologically maimed by someone. So their agency is also kind of in question.
Yeah.
Like, if you made it so they were all not all there to be the things that Bono watches just suffer... Like, it could have gone any other way.
And I mean, if you take them from the angle of victims of abuse, which they are, very much so, being the victims of abuse doesn't excuse them
from
the harm they've caused other people, but you have the people facing them as people that are supposed to protect victims.
Yep.
And when it got to the point, and there was a long time in which Shinosuke didn't know that they were victims, but when you get to the point of him knowing this, and I'm a little disappointed he never looked for a greater cause behind everything before that, but
he's a master detective and all.
Yeah, and again, someone who's supposed to protect people, mm-hmm. but even at the point where he knows everything that happened and why the Roimude are like they are, it's still, okay, we've got to put them all down.
Yep. There's not even a bit where they're like, I'm rethinking our list of people we need to murder. Could we not murder them?
Huh? Yeah, and I mean, that's... You have... And I mean, this is... I am... slightly drunk.
It's cool. A lot of that going around.
You have someone who's in a position where their job is to protect the innocent. Their job is to protect the people who need help. And I'm going to fall back on Rinko in Wizard. Her position was always, I'm going to protect people, magic or no magic.
Yep.
It was never, I'm going to fight the phantoms, magic or no magic. It's, I'm going to protect people. And Rinko had a whole arc where she was like, I understand you're a monster, but that doesn't mean you have to be bad.
God,
and it was unfortunately, it is amazing. And the way that doubles back in the arc about Gremlin, in Gremlin's whole story arc, is even more amazing.
Yeah, because, I mean, once they do bring in the fact that, like, you know, some of them may, you know, some of them just lean into this monster inside them, and after a certain point they lose their agency, but, like, Gremlin is so great like that. It's just like, oh no, I was terrible before.
But, like, even before that, Gremlin is just like, no, I still have my humanity. Even before we know anything about who he was.
Yes.
And the way that Haruto and Rinko react to that because of the Phoenix arc is absolutely amazing. And there's none of that in Drive. They're never trying to save anyone.
They're just fighting
an evil.
Yeah.
And which, it's
like, I think this is that thing where and Jason, I'm really sorry, you know, you gave us all those lovely questions. We had a lot of fun with them. I'm gonna come down a little hard for a sec. So skip ahead if you need to, because I'm not trying to be a jerk, but this is one of those things where I feel like people try to take a story and remove it from any larger social or philosophical context. You know, like, oh, they're evil because they're evil because they're evil because they're evil because they're evil. You know, they're evil because they're the people who fight Kamen Rider, and Kamen Rider only fights evil people, ipso facto, et cetera, et cetera. And like that can only happen in fiction.
Yeah.
And all fiction though is reflective of people's views on the real world. And in the real world, there's no such thing as a guy, as a species of person who should just be put down. And I know that's not where you're coming from. I know that's not where anyone's coming from when they say stuff like that. I know that. But that's where I go. Because this,
yeah,
again,
and I mean, even
last time, that's my critical aesthetic.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had our discussion on this, of me coming at this from kind of a more inside angle.
Yeah, exactly.
And how I kind of approach the outside things with these as examples, and then try, when I am approaching something specifically, I try to work in context. But even then, your story should, I, as someone just who creates content like this, I don't think you should ever just say this whole group is bad.
No.
Even
the moment you say that, you are basically saying, in the real world, again, I go whole hog. The moment you say, like, there are people who are absolutely good and you can listen to them uncritically, In fiction, you are saying that exists in the real world, and that is not the case. And the same goes the other way, when you say there is a group who is uncritically bad, and you can hate them without having to look at yourself. Like, this is not a thing that exists.
Yeah, it's
either.
Like, you really, because there were a lot of Roimudes who were evil, but could have been not evil.
Yeah.
Again, I fall on the Bokander arc. It's, if you had taken that Roimude, because what she was trying to do was protect Haruka's character from the memory of what she did. If you take that, and you take that character and be like, okay, well, you can't do that the way you were doing it, but what if we could find a way to take what you do and use it to help people?
Yeah. It was good.
Like, that's really the way that I'm kind of approaching the Roimudes as a whole, and what the police, who are protecting people, should have tried to do. There should have been, like, a larger, why are these robots attacking us?
Yeah.
Can we maybe talk to who's in charge of them and figure out what's going on? Because if that had happened a lot sooner,
it
would have been like, hey, we don't have to kill you all, and not all humans are like the one that hurt you, just like not all of you are like the ones that hurt us.
Yeah, because there's, you know, people are individuals, even robot people.
So we're gonna not agree with you. Yeah. I mean, because there were definitely some Roimudes that were just like, nah, we want to kill some stuff.
Yeah.
And
then there's the ones who are like, oh, hey, this human's, it serves our interest if we do what this human says. And this human says, do the bad thing. Okay, I'm going to do the bad thing. We don't kill those humans. Just saying.
Yeah, so we're going to...
Just there.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm on a different mic now.
Yeah, you're still a bit staticky, but I guess it was out of power through.
Yeah, this is not as good of a mic.
Well, hopefully it sounds better on
there may be a couple seconds missing in my recording from when I had to switch mics on Audacity, just for the sake of letting Amit know, just for lining things up.
It's a smart thing to do. Now, listener Memoriu responded, it's lazy. The show has gone on and on recently about how Roimutes are more than just killing machines, and how they can be good, and it felt like set up for humans and Roimutes to come together and coexist. I mean, why else would you put so much emphasis on their emotions and how they can become more than what they were built to do? But no, the show doesn't bother exploring that. They're all dead and gone, with the last four deaths just feeling forced into the show because this is Kamen Rider, and bad guys are supposed to die by the end. I mean, I know most of the Roimutes were gone by the time this was brought up, but so what? This show doesn't mind giving Rinna the ability to do literally anything when it's convenient for the plot, so why not just have her figure out a way to restore the Roimute cores that have already been destroyed, thus giving them a second chance to form their own emotions and personalities instead of trying to form them by causing violence? It would have been so much more interesting than all the rushed deaths of the main villain cast and getting rid of the entire race so there's no mess left for the writers to clean up.
Now I'm really angry that Rinna is not Robot Mom.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm now so incredibly angry about this.
Yeah, and especially since, like, she doesn't even have to bring back the old ones. She could make some new ones and be like, okay, Heart, Brain, Medic, teach them. These are your next generation.
Yeah!
We will help you, because we are your friends. Because that would actually make them
work. Work with Medic. Yeah. Medic, figure out how to fix the part of Medic that can fix cores, and make it better, so she can bring back destroyed ones.
Yeah.
And Rinna and Medic can be lesbian robot moms together, and all will be right with the world.
Yeah, I'm down. It is law.
Yep.
Writer law.
Yep.
Now, question 4. Were the text epilogues good for you? Were they necessary?
Breaking Sasuke answered, no. I didn't care for the events happening via text. I'd rather have it shown if it was relevant enough.
Yeah, well, Swirly Jiffy said...
Agreed, generally.
Yeah.
But...
Swirly Jiffy said... They didn't have a whole lot of time left in the episode, and it was nice to get more closure than we usually do with these shows. I was saddened that Kiriko didn't get more than got promoted, had babies ever after with Tamari.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically.
Chris Lee said, they're okay, I guess. Gets information across to the audience easier and faster than a montage. Bit of a shame we can't see things like Rinna getting her prize, etc.
This is more of the show doing a lot of telling and no showing.
Yeah, because, like, now that I think about it, like, having, you know, you have the shot of them, and then you cut to the photo of them doing whatever it is they're doing, and then just say, oh yeah, here's Rinna winning the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, the Nobel Prize in Physics. Here's Q doing whatever it was, Q... did a thing.
I think he got... Oh, no, he wrote a book about it.
Oh, that's
right. He wrote
right.
a book about everything that happened.
Yeah,
which leads me to believe that him and Tomoko become friends, because how many years after Forza is this? This is 3 years? So she'd probably start writing a novel, and
yeah,
they were probably both fans of the same anime.
I'm down. Yeah. Writer law again. See, now I'm getting headcanons.
See, this is why I'm making this timeline.
Yeah.
Because of things like this.
Now, Gord Captain answered, mostly didn't care. Although Go's made me laugh. There's no way he's a wildlife photographer. He's a city boy, through and through.
Did it say he was a wildlife photographer?
I think it mentioned, yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that. I just remember being like, oh, he became the best photographer ever. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Sure he did, yeah.
Jason said they weren't necessary, but they were nice to have, even if only as a way to fuel speculation as to how they got to where they ended up post-series, which I assume is in that surprise future movie. I assume they mentioned that.
Yeah, I just... Like, here's the thing, I'm not going to watch it, so...
I don't know. I could have done without Kiriko's almost entirely being about how she married Shinosuke, though, which we're all pretty much on the same page with that.
Like, again, just... Like, you can say, like, oh, she went up with him to the First Division, and then give her an awesome crime she stopped.
Yeah!
Like, she single-handedly stopped a serial killer or something? I don't know.
She punched a terrorist in the face.
Yeah. She got a commendation from the Prime Minister.
She went on to leave the G3 unit, G4 unit, whatever we're up to with them. Like, she became part of that. Or, you know, those police rider belts that Rena was
making. She's the elite head of the police rider unit.
Yeah, give her that. Because, I mean, guess who's earned a belt?
Yeah, and who was denied a belt from the start of the show. And again, like, I'm guessing, like, they deal with why she can't be a rider in the SCU things, but it's nonsense that it's not in the main show, because that's a main thing they brought up real dang early.
Yeah, and it's just, you bring up that they're making these belts, and there's no mention of them at the end of the show. There's, like, no post-series mention of them.
Yeah.
Where, like, you have the G4 unit at the end of Agito.
Mm.
So it's like, bring up that you're gonna give these. Did they just drop the project because there's no more Roimutes?
I don't believe that would ever happen.
Because, I mean, that was the whole point of G3, is, okay, well, there's no more of the unknown life forms, but what if that happens again?
We're gonna be ready.
So, like, it feels weird to just completely drop that, and that seems like right up Kiriko's alley.
Yeah. It just... Yeah. Rah! Frustration. Now, Momoru responded, again, it just feels kind of lazy. It's necessary in the sense that it's important to know where these characters are going, but doing it like this is so underwhelming. I would have preferred to have Shinosuke do a voiceover explaining where they all went while we had short little clips showing them in the future. 5 seconds of Rena holding up the Nobel Prize on screen would have been great. I'm not asking for much.
Yeah.
We ask for so little, and we don't even get it.
We ask for so little and get nothing.
Yep. Please, sir, can I have some more? More?
Oh,
I'm way too snobby to actually be, like, to portray myself as an Oliver Twist, though, so. Question 5. Repeat question. Was Kiriko involved enough in these episodes?
Swirly Jiffy said, as I said last week, no, she wasn't. It's becoming beating a dead horse to keep asking as the answer is obvious.
Yeah, but... It's a dead horse that I'm gonna beat.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The fact that it's worth repeating so much is indicative of the problem.
Yeah. Like again, I appreciate that, yes, it is obvious, and it is kind of like, anytime we ask it, it's going to be, well, no, she's wasted. But
I mean, that's... If we don't ask it, we're ignoring the problem.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm not... Like, I just did, like, a 7-page thing about, like, how I have this minor problem, thematic problem with Macross that, like, after I spent, like, a week just bubbling effusively about it, so I'm not in the mood to ignore things.
That reminds me, you maybe check out Symphogear.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
I'm gonna, there's some kind of fan service-y bits about it. But I mean, that's just indicative of the era.
Yeah, like,
but there's so much good about it.
Hey, I'll give it a shot.
Like, I would very highly recommend Symphogear.
Look, I'm just like, you know, give me a soap opera set against a space war with giant transforming robots. Like, I don't feel like that should be so hard.
What? give... There's not giant transforming robots, but... They are basically magical girls with tech suits, powered by them singing.
Okay, well, I...
And the songs are always very indicative of what's going on, because it's literally them singing as they fight, fueled on their emotions.
Right, well, I'm sold.
So, it's all girls. I'm pretty sure the main character is a lesbian. Like, she basically has a wife through all three seasons.
I approve.
Symphogear is a good thing.
Cool.
Give it a shot. I would like to hear your Symphogear opinions.
Awesome. We will. Yes. But back before we get going again. As is our wont.
That's just a thing that's been on my mind as you've been talking about Macross.
Cool, alright.
And I just kept forgetting to bring it up because I was usually at work.
Okay, well, speaking of things that are on minds, sorry, we're going to get on a quick digression. Speaking of Agito, speaking of Maju Ranger earlier, a fun way to, like, I'm watching Gosager now.
Yeah!
And I'm finding that a really fun way to watch Gosager is to look at it as Agito from the villain's point of view, where they think they're the heroes. Hear me out. Alright, all the monsters on Agito came in man and woman pairs with different like themes going on. The main villains in Gosager are three insect-themed monsters, one who is blue and silver, like G3, one who is who's got a lot of white on it, like Agito, and one who is a giant freaking mantis monster, like Gills. I'm just saying, like, this is... All of the monsters are all of the Agito popping up that... the angels go and murder the heck out of. I have not seen more... I've seen, like, 5 episodes at this point. I wanted to throw that out. Maybe someone will get a chuckle out of it.
I am.
Yeah.
At least for the first bit of Gosager. Gosager ends up going all over the place. But it is a good time full of very lovable nerds.
I'm noticing. Like, the red is, he's an adorable,
is.
Precious baby. Like,
he
I'm
is.
Sure
he
like
is.
12.
Yeah, no, he's like 4.
Yeah.
He is an actual 4-year-old. They are all precious, and I love them. And wait until you get to their 6, who doesn't seem precious at first, but he is.
But those are my, like, again, like, I remember... when I first saw the things about Akira from Tokyuger, I'm like, oh, you know, alright.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just like, okay, this is the dude that's here. And then he showed up, and I'm like, this is unfair.
Yes.
This is not what I was prepared for.
And then there was Tokyuger Returns, and he spent the whole thing without his shirt.
That was enjoyable. And, I mean, Wagon. I didn't like Wagon at first. Wagon was too much for me.
Yeah.
In the beginning. Yeah. And then I think they realized, like, oh, we gotta dial this one back a bit. And then she became the best big sister on the face of the earth.
They dialed it back, but also leaned in, which was actually kind of impressive to see.
Yeah.
God,
Tokyuger's good.
Yeah, really, yeah. So, anyway, so Chris Lee answered, in reference to whether or not Kiriko was around enough in these last 2 episodes, definitely not. In 47, Kiriko just stands, or in the car scene, sits around while others have their scenes, with the exception of throwing the belt, Mr. Belt, rather, to Shinosuke, feeding him a sweet and thanking him for the compliment. In 48, she somehow hasn't been told of the Neo Shade raid the month before. You'd think she'd be there, she's Shinosuke's partner. Waits outside the building while the men go inside, then gets kidnapped off-screen and has to be rescued. Again. Really disappointed on what she was forced into at the end. This is not the same character that drove in with Trideron, ran over some Roy Mutes, and then shot them in the face. I miss that character.
We all miss that character.
Yeah, like, again, That is my true Kamen Rider Drive OTP. Kiriko X shooting monsters in the face.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even whether or not it worked, because look, she never got to go full Ichijo, which is a shame.
Which is the biggest shame.
But on the other hand, the fact that it didn't work, that never entered into her mind. She's like doing some John Woo shit. That's
doing flips over fences.
Doing John Woo stuff through the air while shooting monsters in the face in the name of stopping them from being evil and protecting the innocent. Like, yeah, I also miss that character, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Gord Captain answered, no. Everyone just assumes Shinosuke and her are a unit now, and they still haven't talked about it. I assume it's they, Shinosuke and Kiriko still haven't talked about it, because I know that's a thing Gore Captain has been furious about.
Which I totally understand. Like,
yeah, I'm also furious about it, but I know that's a point of theirs.
Mm.
Plus, Kiriko's actress just spends most of 47 with a look on her face of sheer nervousness and took a few side glances in fear at Shinosuke. It was some weird acting on her part in the back of the scenes. And I wonder what they told her actress to do. Mostly just made me feel intensely uncomfortable. That relationship is going to go insanely poorly as it's Shinosuke's rebound fling from losing heart. That scene was shot oddly closely, mostly because they were ripping off the O fight in the ocean scene after doing Ankh-powered Tajidor ripping off with Chaser Mach.
Yeah, there was a lot of ripping off in this last fight scene. We didn't get to that, but everybody take a drink. It felt like they were trying to pretend to Kuga, and look, if you are a show like Drive,
you can't
mention Kuga.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea. Like, it was terrible when Gaim tried to pretend onto other writer shows. It was a bad idea here, too, because all it did was like, oh no, I remember when this happened in Kuga, and it was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. I don't know if this was directly ripping off the ocean scene, because that was contextually a very different scene.
God.
I think.
That was such a good scene.
That is a good scene, but I don't think, like, what was going on in that scene was the same as what was going on here.
No,
there's a lot of similarities in The Monster with Humanity.
Yeah.
But I because of the relationship between Eiji and Ankh being very different from the relationship between Shinosuke and Hart, I think that one might just be a coincidence.
Hmm.
I don't really remember the last Tajidor, so I don't know how to compare that to Chaser Mach, but I do want to point out
a bit, like, at the end when he's put the broken metal in his belt, I think is what
I kind of, again, it's been a long time since I've seen O's, so a lot of details are gone.
No, and you know, like,
but I do
filled with a lot of stuff that sounds like it should be really interesting but isn't, so
I do want to lean in on Go deciding that he's going to fix Chase's core as a carry from O's.
Hmm. Yeah,
which is what I assumed. Gore Captain actually, before I had watched 47, had mentioned something to me about a ripoff from O's, which I'm assuming was this. I assume it was that. Go wanting to fix Chase, as Eiji wanted to fix Ankh.
Hmm. Well, fair at least it'll give them the ability to bring him back for the crossover movie, because look, if I was them, I'd...
He's gonna come. Look. Koyomi stayed dead, and she didn't stay dead.
You know, like, I...
All of them. Everyone since Double has come back.
Oh. Well, except for Yoko. But you didn't watch Gaim, so you don't care.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know people died in Gaim and then came back in that crossover.
Everyone except her.
Yeah, because
I'm sure, like, I like to think it's just they asked her, and she's like,
no.
No.
I have other things to do. But, I mean, he's gonna come back. We all know he's coming back.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Don't try to lie to yourself.
Don't get it twisted, yeah. Now, Jason said, it's complicated. She had more scenes than in 45 and 46, but at the same time, a vast majority of her scenes in the last two episodes were solely to fuel the writer's forced Kiriko-Shinosuke pairing. You could switch her out with Rina, and while there would almost certainly be changes, the important scenes, Kiriko running to Shinosuke's side, urging him to use the belt to fight Hart, wouldn't be changed much at all. Episode 48 would have the biggest changes, because when Kiriko gets kidnapped, she doesn't really do much of anything, but Rina would have fought back, but even then, things would still most likely turn out the same. So while Kiriko was more involved, her involvement wasn't very good.
See, the thing is, Kiriko should also be fighting back.
Yeah, again, I would be more than happy to accept that, well, not more than happy, I would accept that this dude kidnapped her if he had, like, a broken arm.
Yeah, or just a bloody lick. Like, she got a good shot in on him, and then he, like, shoved her into the van and pulled the gun.
Yeah. But it's just,
Momo-ryo responded, basically copy and paste my response to this from last week. It felt like she did even less this time. This show doesn't give a crap about Kiriko anymore, and it's honestly heartbreaking. Her biggest contribution here was getting kidnapped, and it was exhausting to watch. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
Exhausting. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Of having to deal with this show dealing with Kiriko.
And, like, I think that's the biggest frustration, because I don't like feeling tired by Ryder. Most of my favorites have energized me.
Yeah.
Like, y'all heard how energized we were just now, and we're like, haha, tokusatsu nerd insider stuff, inside baseball, Agito Gosager. We were very excited to be telling that joke.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Drive, this show that we've put in a lot, like, there's a lot of hours we've put into this show.
We have put in, we have watching Drive. It takes just the act of watching episodes would take literally a full 24 hours of our lives.
Yeah. Yep.
One full day of our lives was devoted to this show.
The DVD special. The second one's out. I don't care.
It's out. I haven't watched it. I probably will, but I don't know when.
Well, you let me know. And the
I'm sure you'll hear me screaming.
And the crossover movie.
And we've got one more crossover movie.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see how much fun that'll be.
Yeah. So, Momoryu, excellent call on exhausting.
Yeah.
Now, question 6. Did the endings feel earned?
Swirly Jiffy said, for the most part, sure. I don't know why they wouldn't have earned them. I don't feel Go earned much of anything, but...
Well, I just go with Gord Captain's answer. Ha! No.
I'm still on board with Rina's Nobel Prize and Krim being locked in a hole.
I like Rina winning the Nobel Prize, because, again, that is a logical extension of her character. Krim being locked in a hole is like, yeah. But then he's like, yes, until the day where humanity is ready for my technology. I'm like, when?
No, you just stay down.
Where did that come from? Shut up. Get in
your hole. The whole point of this is that humanity is never going to be ready. Stay in your hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I am wondering if the Drive Ghost crossover will involve Nobel Prize, Physics Nobel Prize winner Sawagami Rina teaching Akari some physics stuff as she is a physics student.
That would be good.
I would like that connection being made. I'm not holding out hope, though, because there was no any kind of Monty Ranger Bokanger crossover in which Makito and Eiji force-fed both of their teens vegetables. I am endlessly disappointed to this day.
That should be a superhero Tyson. just get them and Deneb, and it's just like, all right, everyone eat your vegetables.
We don't want to eat our vegetables. You have two shows in a row where that is a notable character quirk, and they did nothing with it.
Ooh.
Endless disappointment.
Now, Jason said, I'm not sure if you mean the epilogues or not, but if so, I guess. The team worked pretty hard to take down the Roimutes, though I'd like to know what exactly Go did to earn the title of legendary photographer, since that aspect of his character stopped being relevant early on.
Yeah, that is also a thing I would like to know.
And I will say, like, that is sort of a weakness in the way I phrase the questions, because a lot of the questions are definitely with the rest of the uncommon cast people in mind, who have come to understand how I use my critical shorthand. So I should definitely have been more specific in my question there. That's my bad.
Okay, where are we? Here we go. Momo Rio responded, the epilogue ending felt good. I don't know if I can say it was earned, but I enjoy seeing Shinosuke has to deal with not being a writer and losing Krim as a partner. Especially since I've always loved their dynamic, even if the show didn't always focus on it as much as it should have. The actual finale, on the other hand, didn't feel earned at all. Like I've said before, everything just feels rushed and forced. It's like there was zero planning and Sandra just threw together the last episode as quickly as possible. By the last episode, do you mean 47 or 48? Because I'm not sure Sandra wrote 48?
Like, there is a bit where it does feel like the other writer just, like, takes over in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not...
But I was guessing Memoria was referring more to 47.
Yeah, I want to look up who wrote 48,
I mean, especially one of the things I do like with 48, particularly, though, was when Ghost comes on screen, suddenly it does feel like an entirely different person is taking the shots than any of the stuff with Drive, because, again, like, Drive is this big, like, you know, you can go back and forth about whether or not a body likes the design, but, like, it's not one that seems conducive to a lot of movement or flipping or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, then suddenly Ghost is there, and it's like, oh yeah, you're actually jumping and kicking a dude. I had not realized how much I missed just simply jumping and kicking a dude, which, like, is supposed to be what Tokusatsu is about. I mean, it's creating the impression of superhumanity with some editing around actually really impressive humanity.
Yeah, the 48 was actually written by Mori Nobuhiro, who was a secondary writer on Oz and Gaim.
Oh, okay.
He also wrote the Tokuger Gaim crossover. He wrote the episode of Oz with the grasshopper and the father and the son.
That was an Inoue episode.
No, that was his, apparently, which I think is a good episode, but I think it also kind of encapsulates my huge problem with AG. Because AG has very much... Like, I feel AG thinks a lot of the same way that kid's dad did, but is treated very differently.
No, I'd have to go back and watch before we...
Or, like, it's AG's desires are on that same kind of level... But, like, this guy's is something that a yummy can use and manipulate, where AG's apparently can't be. Okay, he actually... Most of his Gaim episodes are ones that I've seen. And then he wrote 21, 22 of O's, and then 33 through 36 of O's. He wrote 11, 18, 19, 30, and a couple of the Gaim Guidance.
Okay.
He wrote Gaim Wizard.
Which, not bad.
He did... Yeah, so he's done a couple of... Apparently he wrote the Oz novel. I don't know how the Oz novel is.
Me either. And even if I did, I would probably own it. Well, I want to eventually want to get them all anyway, because I think they're just neat objects, but...
Yeah, I want to know more about the Blade novel, and I do want to know more about the Forze novel, because I know in the Forze novel, they get everyone off the M-Bus.
Yes.
Finally!
Yes.
I'd like some more details on that, because that raises a lot more questions than it answers.
Hmm. Now, speaking of questions, question 7, which has a lot of moving parts. Was the show off on its entire premise? What was this show even about? What was the point? Did it have something to do with defining true evil as being part of humanity?
Swirly Jiffy said, they don't seem to be off on their premise. Their premise was a cop fighting time-slowing androids with car-themed gadgetry. They kept their word on that front. I'll give you that. The point was to have a show about a cop solving cases relating to the androids and defeating the evil ones with toys for you to buy. I'd say that the idea of the shadow in the hearts of man being something to combat is interesting, albeit more of a more of an implicit idea intrinsic to cop shows in general.
I guess my only real comment to this one is that is completely factually correct. That is what we were promised, and it is what it delivered. However, it is also all that it delivered.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if, like, man is the true evil is kind of the implicit idea intrinsic to cop shows, to use those direct words, because in most cop shows, there's literally nothing else.
Yeah.
We're not comparing man to monsters because there aren't monsters. Yeah,
there's no such thing.
It's like, again, to put Drive up against Boss, which is a J-drama cop show and a very, very good one, like, there are people that do some horrible things, and a lot of them come from inside the police. And they have to fight that, but there's never this whole idea of man is the true evil, because there's not another evil.
Yeah, there's...
There's nothing to be, like, the false equivalency of evil, and overcome that and realize that the problem is humans.
Mm.
So I'm not sure about that end of the answer.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good point. But yeah, I just still mostly just keep coming back to like I do like the thing where we can acknowledge that yes, the primary purpose of this stuff is ostensibly to sell toys. That is the reason they were able to get the money to make every other Kamen Rider show. Every other Kamen Rider, most of the other Kamen Rider shows are better than Drive.
Yeah.
Like, Kuga there's a dude who punches monsters to death until they explode.
I mean, even if you want to stick with the really gimmicky riders, because Kuga's not a very gimmicky rider.
That's true.
And even if you want to stick with literally the exact same writers.
Yeah, double, yeah.
Double is a much more strongly written show that goes into the idea of man is the true evil.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, like, the brilliant thing with the Dopants is, like, those aren't monsters, those are people.
Yeah, those are people who are basically in the same way that Forze is, people who end up with a dark desire for whatever reason and are given the power to act upon it.
Yeah. And like I say it at every opportunity, I'm not the biggest double fan. I actually don't like it that much.
I'm like the only double fan on this show, and that is a thing I understand. And one day, I plan to rewatch Double soon and see how I still feel about it. Because again, it's been 4.5 years since I've watched Double, and I now have a broader scope of Rider as a whole. And I believe my tastes have changed somewhat since then. So we'll see how much I like Drive.
I only bring that up to say, like, for all I don't like it, or I don't think it succeeds as well as it wants to. Like, it takes its basic premise and the way it was going to sell toys, and by accident or design, I think it does tell an interesting story about the negative effects of patriarchal systems on the people trapped within them, from Shotaro, who is trying to live up to this impossible masculine ideal, not realizing that, look, Narumi didn't live up to it either.
Narumi didn't either.
Yeah, exactly, and that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. And then comparing that to this other evil father who, you know, he uses his moneyed patriarchal power to oppress and destroy his family in pursuit of abating his aggrieved entitlement to things working out his way. Like, that is a fascinating story. Again, and that is more than what is on the box. And I think that's one of the things Drive really stumbles with, because it's not even quite a good version of what it says it is on the box.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate like jumping down your throats really, Jiffy. But one of the reasons I really enjoy the audience participation part is because there are often so many really meaty things to jump on and so many bits of perspective that you know, we don't come from, and we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, like, this gives us more to talk about. Like, this isn't an angle we would come at on our own, because, again, like, this idea of that being something that's in cop shows, like, that's something neither of us think are in cop shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, this is good, I think. I hope.
Now, Gord Captain answered, I have no idea. It's just a crazed meandering, changing plots every 10 episodes, giving the main character no characterization, really, and suddenly introducing Bano at the end. Mostly it just comes off as crazy evil scientist is crazy and evil. I mean, the real evil was just most of the humans in the series, especially Bano and Go, but the show just jumps to the conclusion without really setting it up in the last episode, and somehow I doubt Shinosuke is now going to go around killing humans for being evil the same way he does robots.
Although, my god, I hope not.
Yeah. Although, given the unhinged way he's talking to hallucinatory Krim in the final episode, who knows? And, like, I give that, like, of all the things in the show, that is the one I am perfectly willing to give to dramatic license.
Yeah, I'm willing to give that a pass.
Especially since, like, him and Krim were close, you know, what with Krim wearing his body like a suit for a couple episodes.
Yeah, and he like, had this weird, like, father trust in Krim.
That Krim...
That I don't totally understand, but okay, sure, why not?
Yeah. Look, Sanjo likes fathers. He likes writing fathers in.
Yeah, he likes writing fathers, and he likes writing the found family.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's a thing I'm really into. But he seems to be doing it progressively worse and worse the more he does it.
Yeah, well, again, I'm
And him and Hasegawa both. I'm not gonna put it all on him, because he did not write every episode, and he did not write the episodes that angered me most.
I am gonna, you know, unlikely as it is for me to step to his defense, like, I do have to wonder if it's not, like, producer, director, someone with a little more power being like, no, dumb it down.
I mean, I do have to wonder, because it's two writers.
Yeah.
Like, it's two people, and there's not this, like, jarring level of quality between them, but there is a jarring level of quality between a work they've done together in the past with different production staff, and this work that they've done together with this production staff.
Yeah. It's just... yeah. Moving on, because we're in, like, hour three now, or hour two. Or...
Oh, are we? Where are we?
Yeah, we're just about to hour three.
Oh, good lord.
Now, Jason said, I don't even know. As much as I enjoyed watching Drive, it was a mess that was all over the place. Sometimes it was about family, and sometimes it wasn't. I don't think the show really knows what it wanted to do. It's trying to claim that humanity is inherently evil, doesn't sit well with me, because it comes across as extremely negative for Kamen Rider, and... Yeah, I kinda do.
Yeah, but I feel like that... Kamen Rider has touched on humanity has the potential for great evil. Frequently. Again, very frequently in... Very frequently in post-Decade Heisei. With the dopants being humans, the yummy running on human desire,
the Zodiarts,
wizard being, this is literally, humanity is being cast aside. Yeah, this is literally people's demons.
Yep.
Guy.
That one time.
Yeah, and also Santa once. But, like, I feel like this is maybe a lot farther than Kamen Rider has ever pushed it. Where it's just, where they're just flat out saying humanity is evil.
Yeah, but they only say it. They don't lean in and prove it.
Yeah.
They don't make their case. Which is really frustrating.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing. But yeah, no, Drive is a mess, and it is all over the place.
Yeah, that is a very nice way of putting it.
Momo Ryo responded, Drive has never known what it wants to be, so in the end, it's all just a huge mess. It started off being about finding the motivation to continue through life even after a tragedy. Then they dropped that, and it was about family and Shinosuke's dad. Then they wrapped that up, and it was about love and emotions. But the arc with Shinosuke's dad was pretty much entirely ruined by Neera. And I think I've already gone pretty in depth on why they dropped the ball with the whole theme of emotions and how that related to the Roimudes. Drive couldn't handle any of its themes correctly, so it all feels pointless. The true evil being humanity could have worked if you got rid of Freeze and introduced Vano around that time, or even earlier than that, but nobody working behind the scenes did any planning, so we're left with nothing but a forced cliche message that doesn't feel earned at all. And I think that harkens back to our, like, home stretch battle cry of why didn't this all happen earlier?
Yeah. And, like, again, because, like, if you bring in Bono at the start in a real way, in an interesting way, look, we could have started with Goddad iPad.
I mean, like, we could have started with Freeze and Neera.
Yeah.
And then when we bring in Go, bring in Bono.
Yeah. Or don't bring in Go. Just have Kiriko, like,
yeah.
her dad pops up and she's like, oh god, it's my evil dad. I thought he was
dead. It's like, oh god, I thought this was a thing I was done with.
Yeah. But, you know, can't always get what you want. Speaking of things I want, question 8. Did episode 48 get you excited for Ghost?
Breaking Sasuke answered, Chase was the true protagonist of the series. Tomari lost my respect when he said Heart surpassed humanity overall. 48 was just about how Tomari changed, which I don't feel like he has. 45 was the end of Drive for me. What was 45?
Oh, that was when Chase did his heroic sacrifice.
Oh, okay. Just give me Ghost already.
Which?
Okay.
Yeah. Swirly Jiffy said, I was already interested in Ghost. I didn't need an extra episode to affirm it. This was a crossover episode similar to the Wizard one in which Gaim was barely involved, so I was not expecting him to do much. And I gotta give credit there, because, yeah, like, I would not have minded just getting Ghost.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I did enjoy the weird ending Wizard episodes, though. I thought they were a lot of fun.
I kind of loved them.
I mean, I love anything that will give me, like, high school alternate universe delinquent Rinko. And also, they were show Aikawa episodes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the Aikawa there.
Yeah.
And I'm down with that.
Now, Chris Lee said, I'm happy to say it did. I was worried about the small ghost thingy, but it seems to have a good character, and I did find myself enjoying its interactions with Takaru and Shinosuke. Ghost himself seems interesting, though he didn't get as much of a chance to show his personality, in my opinion. He seems polite and trusting, similar to Haruto to a certain extent. I've been getting a lot of wizard vibes, and I'm not upset about that, and I'm right with you.
Yeah, no, I'm all, like, I'm getting the vibes that I got right before Wizard.
Now, Chris Lee also notes that he's attached the spreadsheet he made throughout the series detailing the Roy Mutes, how often they showed up, their type, who killed them, and how, etc. Might be useful as a topic of conversation. Interestingly, when Chase switches sides, he ends up destroying more cores than Mach. And thank you, Chris Lee, that was actually quite useful, and it was kind of fun to get my math corrected.
It is. I do actually want to look over it closer. I only got a chance to look at it as I was on my way home. I do want to look closer at it.
It's pretty fun.
But it is a pretty neat thing, and thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, it's a very impressive work. That's a lot of time and effort, and it is very appreciated.
Gord Captain answered, no, it wasn't the Ghost staff doing it. Ghost didn't appear out of suit, and Ghost barely interacted with the episode aside from the fight scenes. Heck, Shinosuke throws away the Newton icon he gets to make a miracle happen because it's really trying to be episode 49 of Double. Kind of?
Oh, wait,
which, which was about Shotaro having to move on and continue his job without Philip, and the world's most laziest and rushed resurrection following that, and I'm not gonna totally agree there. But, okay. But it doesn't really make any sense for Shinosuke to be so torn up because he wasn't close partners with Krim, mostly because Krim was awkwardly non-active a lot of the time as a character, so there wasn't much of a dynamic. That's not true, though, because he says a lot of how he very explicitly trusts Krim.
For reasons.
Like, again, it's something that was said and not shown, and that is a problem. But, they were very close. Ghost Preview... Gore Captain goes on with, Ghost Preview looked cool, though. It's a Heisei Rider series not written by Riku Sanjo, so there's an 81-point-something. There's a lot of numbers there, and I'm slightly drunk. Chance of me enjoying watching any given stretch of it, and yes, I did just do a quick math calculation for that.
I would love to know the numbers going in. What?
Yeah, I mean... Okay.
Or is that just the number of writer series in the post-decade Heisei era that were not written by him that you enjoyed? I'm guessing that would make sense, because
it's
about 80%, sounds about right.
It's not entirely written by Riku Sanjo?
Yeah.
Please factor in Hasegawa, because there were a lot of big missteps that were Hasegawa. The thing is, like, I want to put blame on both of them.
That's fair. That's, yeah, more than fair.
I want to put the blame on both of them. I do disagree about the whole thing with Philip. I have a lot of very strong feelings on that. On Philip's resurrection and the fact that Philip had to be, and he had to be right then. For the ending of Double to work at all. For Shotaro's ending to work at all. Again, it's something I do need to rewatch the series. Maybe I'll feel differently upon rewatching it, but that is something that at present I do feel, have very strong feelings about. And I really don't find this any kind of parallel.
No, I don't either, actually. Again,
because the thing is, Shotaro was so destroyed that he actually couldn't do a Henshin on his own. He still completely mentally was doing it with Philip. And I don't feel there was any point at which he accepted Philip was gone. Whereas Shinosuke was like, he would still imagine things that Krim would say to him, but he was completely willing to fight and function without him.
Yeah, look, like, I had a lot of problems with Double. That last bit was not one of them. Like, it was sweet.
I have a lot of feelings about the ending of Double. I have a lot of feelings about Trout's death, and that still makes no sense to me. That is a scene I have rewatched multiple times. I have isolated that scene. It makes no sense.
Now, moving on, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking about that.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that impression. Now, Memoria responded, I was already unbelievably hyped for Ghost, so the ghost scenes here didn't excite me too much, but it was still very fun overall. It was cute seeing Takeru argue with Yurusen over giving Shinosuke the icon. The suit looks good in motion, I like Ghost's fighting style, and Yurusen in general is so strange and adorable. So while it didn't necessarily excite me, it gives me even more hope that Ghost will be different from Drive and Gaim, and we can at least have a good season of Kamen Rider again.
Yes.
Yeah, because again, like, I think I've said it before, like, I'm not asking for greatness, I'm just asking for watchable.
I'm asking for fun. Yep. That's all I want. I just want a show to be fun. Yeah. Fun
don't
and enjoyable.
Be like, oh, I gotta watch The Thing.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of where I was towards the end of Drive. It's like, oh god, I don't really want to watch these.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna watch them. Like, I was literally, I was watching two or three episodes at a time, like, the night before we recorded.
Hmm. And finally, Jason says, yes, I wasn't too excited before because Ghost's design is really unappealing to me. But seeing him in action briefly in episode 47 and 48 has me excited to see more of the character and by extension more of the show. Overall, to use the show's own words, Drive was a nice drive. It's not the best series, but it's certainly not the worst. Outside of being a cop drama with Kamen Rider elements, it didn't really seem to know what it wanted to do. Well, it certainly beats out Gaim, which isn't even hard to do, even if I enjoyed Gaim while it was airing, it still has a long way to go before it can be as good as Forza or even Wizard.
Pretty much. I mean, I would call it more of a Kamen Rider show with cop drama elements instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
And even then, it only had cop drama elements for, like, 15 episodes.
If that.
The Boukenger arc was 12 and 13?
Hmm.
Or 13 and 14? The Rina's arc is the last one I'd consider having cop drama episodes, and I know one of those is 15.
Well,
it's either 14 and 15 or 15 and 16.
Well, I mean, I guess you could... God, am I speaking in Drive's defense? I mean, I guess you could argue that some of the stuff with Nera was kind of cop drama adjacent anyway?
Yeah... I mean, a lot of, like, the construction of that was very cop drama, but that was also in, like, the mid-30s.
Yeah.
And so you have a whole stretch of, like, 15 to 20 episodes in between where there is very little cop drama.
Yeah. Boy, this show. This show.
But now the show is over.
Yep, and Shinosuke should be tried at The Hague. Because he committed, like, at the very least, war crimes against the Roimude. And I know we can say that most Kamen Riders do some pretty heavy stuff, but there's actually very few of them who've committed genocide.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, even if you go back to Kuga, most of them weren't killed by him.
Well, and here's the thing, they're
like,
also
humans. He killed...
Their genome still exists.
Yeah.
Their culture is wiped out, and that is messed up.
Yeah.
Think. But also, our boy is not happy about that fact, and depending on how you want to take the ending, he might also be dead.
But I mean, like, Dagoba killed most of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a good, like, couple hundred of them that he just murdered.
Yeah.
Just to get them, so the plot would not have them in the way.
Yep. And it works because it's Daguba.
Yeah. That's a thing he would do.
Yeah. At some point I really do have to put together like a list of, okay, what happens with the bad guys and how do I feel about it? Because again, at the very least at the end of Kuga, like Godai is like, oh god, they were all people? Oh god. He was appropriately kind of upset, besides being upset about how he kept exploding them and how that wasn't what he wanted to do or be.
Yeah.
I love Godai so freaking
God, Kuga.
I have all these fanfic. They're terrible because they're all just about him being angsty and sad.
Aww.
I have certain motifs and things where, like, violence is not a solution and it is not the thing that makes you a happy person. Like, I'm all about that. Again, you saw my everybody, I really went on a tear about Macross.
It is great though, guys.
Like, it's go, just like, it, oh hey, they're using music and culture to be like, oh, these guys are all militaristic and that's terrible because all they have is violence. And then they discover terrible pop music and they're like, I don't want to fight anymore. I might hurt the person who made that terrible pop music that I love. That is the first pop music I've ever heard. No, I know we're all a bunch of giant man soldiers. We're not. No, we're actually a bunch of 13-year-olds emotionally. So, and then everything just goes to crap. Freak. Anyway.
I mean, I would also love for you to watch Macross Frontier, just because I would love to hear your opinions on that.
Right, yeah, like, I might have to, just to be like, oh, okay, so then they took all that crap, and then they ran with it this way?
I mean, I would just love to see where that goes.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Macross Frontier is a trip.
Oh boy. But on that note, any last thoughts on Drive before we wrap it up? And I don't know if there's a car related. Put it in the hearse, I guess.
Maybe I'm gonna lay down in the Kiriko Rena hole and I'm gonna die there.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's Kiriko Rena and Shinosuke Hayase, and that's my final word on that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go crawl into my Toku Nerd dumpster. And
no, wait, we can go with Put It in the Hearse, because then we're going into Ghost.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah, we're gonna put Drive in the Hearse, and look, okay, Gaim was the stooge that killed Ryder. Drive is the stooge that took his place. Ghost, hopefully, is the resurrection.
Yeah.
After 3 years in the... No. No, that's... It wasn't even 3 years, it was 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, Wizard was a lot of stumbling blocks.
Yeah, it was a lot...
But Wizard is a really beautiful thing.
Good, My significant other has reminded me, no, Aleph, while Wizard was on, you spent a lot of time complaining about a lot of things, and it's like, I guess I did, I don't remember it, because all I remember is watching Gaim and just being like,
yeah. No. I mean, I had some problems with Wizard.
Yeah.
That whole arc with the bird, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm still, to this day, angry about it, because that was butchering two of the best characters in the show.
There was a lot of bits where I'm just like, just stop, guys, come on.
But, I mean, like, I can give Wizard a little leeway, and I can give Oz a little leeway, because Wizard had to write around Koyomi, and Oz had to literally rewrite its ending on the fly.
Yeah.
So I will give them that. I give some leeway to Kabuto and Deno for those reasons. Because their lead actresses both got sick and had to leave.
Mm.
So, like, the mess that is the, like, 30s of Kabuto, I can just, like...
A mess.
They're a mess, but it's because Hiyori had to leave and they had to, like, stall for time until she could get back.
It's not even, like... Oh, she got called away because her agency said, like, no. or she decided to focus on her singing career. It's just, no, she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
That is a different thing.
And I've heard a lot of different things about Hannah, but the most reliable source I heard from was that she also got sick.
Oh, really? Okay. I was under the impression that it was an idol thing.
I don't know anything for certain. I don't have any direct sources on this, but like
you
the person
aren't in touch with Shoe.
Yeah, the person who told me it was because she got sick is someone who I think is very reliable.
Okay. Well, that's even better than... Well, maybe not better, but... It's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, she didn't leave them in the lurch in quite the same way.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like Hana was probably the best recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just put in little Hana and keep going.
Yeah, like, it was weird, and like, I definitely, like a friend of mine pointed out, like, Aleph, that is, they have literally infantilized Hana. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it worked.
Yeah, but I mean, what else?
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Like, in that situation, I think that's better than trying to write around her. Again, because Hana is someone very central to the plot.
Yeah, like, you know, you can't just not have her around.
Like, Hana, Hiyori, and Koyomi are all very, very central. And of the three of them, I think bringing in little Hana was probably the best choice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, especially again, since there was that bit in Climax Deca where she busts out the bazooka.
That was so good!
Yeah, like, I
would have watched that movie a lot sooner if someone had told me that.
Yeah, I understand that. That is totally on. But, lest we get off on another tangent, any last thoughts, or should we just head on out?
I'd say Drive was passable.
You are a kind person than I am.
Not good, but passable.
I can see how you get there anyway.
I there are a lot of good things in Drive. Nothing that was followed up on to any of the extent it should have been.
Yeah.
But there were several really good things in Drive, and I don't want to ignore that those things happened.
That's fair. I mean, if nothing else, it's really cool that we got to see Rena, and we got to, you know, Lady Scientists. You know, like, I don't know if Japan has the same problems in the STEM fields that the West does.
It probably does.
I was willing to bet, but I don't. You know, I don't live there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for certain, but it probably does.
Yeah. So, like, you know, good, you know, props for, you know, prominent lady cop, prominent lady scientist, who, at least for the first, like, third of the show, like, both of them get to be super competent at what they do. Because I think
and literally more competent than any man that they have on the team.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's about at that point where Kiriko starts getting sidelined because Backflip McGee shows up.
Yeah, which is literally, he shows up in 13.
Yeah.
And, like, and then you have the Bokendra arc, and then you have Rena's arc. And from there, it's just kind of downhill.
Yeah, it's just...
And I mean, there are some good things after that. Again, Medic's whole story.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things in Drive, and I'm not going to just completely discount them. But there's a lot of bad things in Drive.
And, you know, and again, you know, speaking as we did last week about critical aesthetics, it's good that you're there to be like, no, Aleph, it's not complete crap. And I really do appreciate it, because I tend towards really hyperbolic stuff, and I always appreciate people who can remind me, like, no, Aleph, you're being hyperbolic again. Slow your roll, dude.
Just bring it in. And I mean, I'm not going to deny that Drive is a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah, well, look, I mean, that's... Like, you're kind to it. You're not a liar.
I mean, I'm willing to take in all of the good bits and hold those dear to my heart.
That's good. That's, yeah.
Because all I want to do is enjoy things.
Like, all I do too, but I'm also a massive snob. Like, it is troubling. But on that note,
That's Drive, I guess.
That's Drive. So for Uncommon Cast RX, thanks for listening. I'm Aleph.
And I'm Sano.
We'll see you next time, where we begin our coverage of Kamen Rider Ghost!
Yeah!
We'll see you next time.
Later, everybody.
You can reach us through the show's inbox, uncommoncastrx@gmail.com, or interact individually with us on Twitter. I run @uncommoncastrx, also @trialofheroes. Aleph is @needsmoreAleph, and Sono is @mamafriesmore or @sonoyourface. You can keep track of what we're doing by checking out our Tumblr, uncommonrx.tumblr.com, or by following us on our website, trialofheroes.wordpress.com. The Uncommon Cast RX is part of the Toll Network, bringing you analysis with teeth.